Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
D1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Despite a 1% chance to make the postseason, Joe Burrow's Thanksgiving return provides some hope in Ohio's Queen City. In Burrow's first action since September, he tossed two touchdowns as the Bengals won in Baltimore last night, beating the Ravens 32-14. Cincinnati's defense stepped up in the win, turning the Ravens over five times. Bengals are 4-8 on the season and need to win out to have a shot at the playoffs. Cincinnati's at Buffalo next Saturday before hosting Baltimore in 2 weeks. Also on the field Thursday, the Packers beat the Lions 31-24, while the Cowboys topped the Chiefs 31-28. In college football, number one Ohio State heads to Ann Arbor to battle number 15 Michigan tomorrow at noon. We'll have live fan pregame coverage tomorrow morning at 6:30. This update is sponsored by Roosters. For every $50 you spend in Roosters gift cards this holiday season, you'll receive a $10 Roosters bonus buck at Roosters locations or online at roosterswings.com.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Barry here.
Oh, Reese came in and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, "You see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me."
Oh,
I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says "on."
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist: Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Accordingly, you're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
Let's do it live on the Football Friday. The bells hit different for this one, do they not? The 121st edition of the game will be played tomorrow at noon in Ann Arbor. Ryan Day comes into this one 81-10 as the head football coach at Ohio State. Didn't stammer, didn't stutter. 81-10. He is 53-5 in the league. 53-5. He has done so great, and this team has been so incredible that you can remember every single one of the losses. You remember four of the best. He's currently the model coach in all of college football. He is running the program by which all others are measured against. But around here, he's also measured by history and against legends. Urban at 7-0, Tress at 9-1, Woody at 16-11-1. He's chasing ghosts too. And around here, he still needs this one. He's got the best defense in recent college football history. Truly. Look it up. He's got the best player in the country. He's got the Heisman co-front runner at quarterback. He is coaching the undefeated defending national champions, and he needs a win on Saturday. And damn it, no matter who is coaching Ohio State, that stays the same. And that's why this one hits different. It's why it hits different this year, and it's why it always will. For all of the talk about this one not meaning as much, or people here are psychotic because they want to beat Michigan, it's because you don't live here and you don't live up there. Because up here and up there, it needs no explanation. They're going to play for the 121st time. This is one of those things where the record in this one is something that is always remembered. He doesn't need it in the sense that he's in any danger of anything. For God's sakes, they're undefeated. They're number one in the country. They're defending national champions. And sure, if they lose on Saturday, can they still win the national championship? Yes. In fact, if they lose on Saturday, will their odds of winning the national championship change at all? No, I don't think they will. I think it'll remain the same. I think they'd be the favorite in a win or a loss. Why? Because we saw what they did last year. But my hope is the Buckeye team we saw after that loss to Michigan in our place, where they tried planting a flag on your field, that the Ohio State team that we saw after that is the Ohio State team that we see tomorrow. And my hunch is we will. My hunch is we will. I think that they have been building towards this all season. I think they've held stuff back defensively to confuse a freshman quarterback. I think they've held stuff back offensively. I think they put stuff on tape that's disingenuous to make Michigan prepare for things that they're not going to do. And the thing that's the weird dichotomy about that is the juxtaposition of everything they've done has built to this, and yet everything Ohio State has done leading up to this is treating it like they're playing Purdue. They're flying to games now. They've never flown to this one. They always take the bus. Even the video, the hype video they put out, there's no real mention of the greatest rivalry in all of sport. It just kind of feels like a normal hype video for a normal week. But there's nothing normal about this. And it's my hunch that everything that Ohio State has done all season has been building to this. Will he get revenge on Saturday? Will this team get revenge on Saturday? Will they get gold pants for the first time since 2019? Maybe. But they're after something bigger. They're after a reckoning. And that's what's at stake. So if people tell you it doesn't matter, there's all this, no, no, no. You're not from here. And you're not from up there. And I don't care if in the future they play next year or play three times. Every single time when you play the last regular season game of the season and it's against them, it's going to matter. And that's not going to change. And folks that have been here for their whole life, I'm lucky enough. I've been here 19 years. It's hard to believe sometimes, but I have. And I see how my kids have grown up with it. I see how the folks who have been here their whole lives have grown up with it. Go try telling them that it doesn't matter as much. I dare you. And that, to me, is the theme for tomorrow, fellas. It's number one versus number 18. They're going to play for the 121st time, and it means just as much now as it did in 06 or 76 or 46 or 06. That all stays the same.
There never won't be a time this game won't matter. Until an asteroid hits this planet and takes us all out. When Ohio State plays Michigan on the football field, it'll matter more than any other game. Than any other game with any other stakes.
Yeah.
Now, the outcomes of games certainly argue national championships, and that's fine. But Ohio State and Michigan means everything to everybody around here, means everything to everybody up there. They tried for the longest time, Michigan fans did, to say that it was Michigan State was the rivalry or that they were a basketball school, but you knew that they were lying. Like the Brady Hoke, the Rich Rod era, you knew it was a lie. Because you had seen it in the 90s how much it meant to them when Lloyd Carr was beating John Cooper. And when they were taking wins from Ohio State and taking them to Rose Bowls and taking them en route to national championship games. And now similarly in the past couple of years, you've seen what it's meant to them when they've taken the season from Ohio State. When they've taken Ohio State game wins to Rose Bowls and to national championships. Mm-hmm. Like this brings back a lot of the echoes of the 90s. Or these two programs, now perennial powerhouses nationally, are meeting and winner goes to Indy. Loser probably goes to the playoffs in some situations, but this is so much more than any other football game to everybody in this state and to everybody in that state. And it'll never be anything less.
Yeah.
Well, I'm lucky enough to be one of those people you talked about that have grown up in this.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Reeser. And my first introductions really to the rivalry. Like, I remember them winning one for Earl, vaguely, but my first introductions to this rivalry were Payne. Were teams that were better that lost for whatever reason, whether that be Sean Springs slipping or Timby Akabatuka going crazy or Desmond pulling the Heisman pose out on Ohio State or Charles Woodson with the rose in his mouth. I remember a time when Michigan tried to tell us that this rivalry didn't matter, that Michigan State was their rival and it wasn't Ohio State. And then I remember a two-decade run where you owned them. You owned them. And then all of a sudden, we've had these last 4 years. And I'll tell you what, I got goosebumps this morning when the bells hit. The bells haven't the bells haven't hit like that since Texas, quite frankly. Right. Yeah. That's the only other time this year they hit like that. And I've got a nervous feeling in my stomach. I've had it all week about this game because everything in my brain tells me Ohio State is a far superior team. And if these guys played 10 times, Ohio State would win 9 of them. But unfortunately, that one could be Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't think it is. I don't want it to be. But I've seen it happen. And I don't know how anybody, unless they are just full-on scarlet-colored glasses and that's how they live their life, I don't know how anybody can tell you they're fully confident in a win on Saturday. And if they are, they're lying to you.
Yeah.
Because I don't, especially being me, growing up the way I did in the 90s, none of these are ever guaranteed. And we got a time there where it felt like they were. And boy, were we, what a time that was to live in.
It was. But it's great. I think they are. I think the men of Scarlet and Gray are very confident. And now it's just a matter of how it manifests on the field. So we'll get you set. As only we can over the next three. We're going to move some things around a little bit today. We'll do Shelly time a little early. Jackets back at home tonight against the Pens in a fun one. Our great friend, New York Times bestselling author John U. Bacon is going to join us as he does every single Ohio State Michigan Friday. He will join us at 10 o'clock. Tim May, 10:30. Doug LaMaurice, 11:30. We are off and running on the Football Friday edition of the program, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
To 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Sunday Night Football on The Fan. Catch the Broncos and Commanders live from D.C. Fan coverage starts Sunday at 7:30.
Sponsored by Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Your radio home of the NFL, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll have a chance for scattered flurries and isolated snow showers throughout the day. Otherwise, skies will be partly sunny with daytime highs getting in the mid to upper 30s. And then for tonight, mostly clear overnight with our lows down into the teens and low 20s. For Saturday, we do have a slight chance of snow showers in the afternoon. Otherwise, clouds will be increasing and daytime highs will be in the mid to upper 30s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Are you working? Because we barely are. It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football and quiet quitting. The Fan.
If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Two receivers wide right. Bellamy and Butler, Askew on the backfield. And Navarre on the final play of the game to throw from the 32. Throws into the end zone. Intercepted! Intercepted at the 5-yard line! And the Buckeyes are headed to the desert. as Ohio State gets an interception on the final play of the game to beat Michigan. 14-9, couldn't even begin to see who picked it off.
Will Allen
with his second of the year, and the Buckeyes finish the year unbeaten and are headed to the national championship with their second turnover of the game.
I mean, come on. Come spit on. And like half the people were complaining that I had a blue Sharpie in my hand while I was doing the interview.
What's wrong with you?
Like, it's not even Navy. It's Royal. So I switched it up. I found a red one. I didn't plan it.
I've got a red pen too, but
great minds.
And a green hoodie sweatshirt.
We had yesterday on Thanksgiving, my wife, she just loves the parade. Like this morning, the boys were up at 6:45. She's like, we got to do Black Friday. I'm like, honey, I don't think people do that anymore, but God bless you. I don't know if this is a recipe for success for you either. Like, I feel like they're going to be tired and complaining a lot about this. And so NBC, 13 years old, comes downstairs in a hat and she goes, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm wearing a hat. And she goes, you're not wearing a hat. Go do your hair. And he goes, Mom, I'm up. I'm doing this. It's not that deep. Guess who didn't wear a hat?
Yeah, it probably went over really well.
Did not go well. Yesterday, she was trying to get him to watch the parade. And that, God almighty, that thing's like 4 hours. She was trying to get him to watch the parade, and she couldn't find any of them. And I'm like, where are they? So I went downstairs, and all three of them were playing College Football 26 on the Xbox. Beamsy was at the controls. I look at the score. It's Ohio State, Michigan up there. It's 64-0 as he started the third quarter. And I got a chuckle out of it. Then I went upstairs and he came up like 15 minutes later and he was kind of pissed off. And I go, buddy, what's wrong? And he goes, I beat him. I said, what was the score? He goes, I beat him 106-0. And I said, well, what are you mad about? And he goes, well, last year I beat him 126-0. And I'm like, so apparently this is his little tradition.
Did Carnell Tate not play in that game?
Because I couldn't go for three.
He couldn't go for more. He had Jeremiah Smith. He had like 8 touchdowns. I'm like, okay, well, God Heisman bless you moment. Boys. There you go. I've been telling everybody I like those odds, man. 100-1. How'd you guys do? How was your Thanksgivings?
Chicken hit. It was a success.
Of course it hit.
Because the turkey, and I have a buddy that was smoking a turkey, and those things take like 6-7 hours. And I got to follow up with him today because I never just feel that that's ever going to provide enough to overcome the drama and the stress.
Oh.
So the chicken works because it doesn't take a ton of time to prepare. It takes more time to probably clean up after, and nobody's stressed. Everybody has a good time. It was wonderful.
And it's delicious.
Yes.
It's a superior bird.
Yeah.
Bake, how'd you do?
I don't love this turkey hate on this show.
It's fine, but we're just recognizing the reality of it all.
I enjoy turkey a lot.
Did you
go dark meat or white?
Huh?
You go dark meat or white?
I've always been more of white. I know most people don't because they don't think it's as juicy or whatnot, but I've always liked the white meat. Yesterday was good. I spent the first half of the day finishing up game charts for tonight and the drive up to Wapakoneta, and then just enjoyed the rest of the time, watched a little football and whatnot. So did participate in a couple libations there, Bo. So.
Yep. Well, you need it. Yeah, The 1 o'clock kick was interesting, and I didn't put really any thought to it on Packers Lions. Normally that's noon, and it was one.
I thought it was always 12:30.
Or 12:30, is that what it was? 12:30?
That's what I always remember, 12:30.
I like a Thanksgiving meal at 1 o'clock. And then you get to watch the start of the first game, and then especially in the East, you get to watch the start of the first game, and then you have the meal, and then you come back and it's past halftime. You get the third, fourth quarter, and away you go. So the timing of it was kind of all messed up a little bit. The games did not go the way I thought. I mean, I really thought Detroit would take care of their business at home against the Packers. They did not. I thought that the Chiefs in a must win would be able to go to Dallas and get a win. They could not. It turns out Dallas with Prescott, Pickens, and CeeDee Lamb is borderline impossible to defend. You basically have two guys who can get open whenever they want, always in routes. And we slept on the Pickens acquisition, I think, because he was such a knucklehead. But the reality is, like, when he's locked in, he's elite. And so they have two of them now that can get open whenever they want, it seems like. So that they are going to be, and they needed it worse than Kansas City. Kansas City now has to win out. But Dallas needed that one a little bit more just because some of the separation in the NFC.
I kind of feel like Dallas is the Bengals from last year with a better defense, though. It's not much better, but it's a little better. And I'm kind of wondering if they're going to get on a heater here and nobody's going to want to play them in the postseason.
I wouldn't want to play them. Like, if you're in the NFC and you got to stop. They have two elite weapons and a really good quarterback. So
and
it's
a
problem.
A pretty good tight end, too. Ferguson's not bad at all. Bo, I was driving in this morning. I had to come in early to do the ONNs. Mm-hmm. So I was listening to the national guy on Infinity Sports. He was filling in for the normal, I think it's Jody Mack or Pat Boyle, one of those guys that's normally in. He was filling in and he kept saying, he was obviously a West Coast guy because he kept talking about, doing radio in LA, LA. And he talked about how weird it was yesterday because being on the East Coast, he's used to waking up and getting football at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And then he had to wait until 1, and I immediately thought of you and how you had to do that transition before. And, like, that sounds kind of pretty good. Just wake up yesterday and throw football on the TV and go.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Like, you know. Yeah, I mean, like, the Lions game, when we always had Thanksgiving dinner at 1 o'clock in Mountain Time. And at that point, like, the Lions game's almost over.
Over, yeah.
You know? So it worked out. It was pretty sweet to have it. But, of course, we didn't have the third one in those days.
Yeah.
So it was all over by, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock, and then you're just sitting around having to talk to relatives, and nobody wants to do that. What do we make of this Bengals situation? I mean, I thought they'd cover. Reese, I think you were with me on that, and I think maybe you got one of the other ones that I didn't, but I didn't have them going to Baltimore and beating the brakes off the Ravens. I knew the Ravens were having some struggles, but this was a little different.
Yeah, I'd said, was it Wednesday? That Joe Burrow's the tide that raises all boats, and it turns out he raised the defense to play defense. I think the Baltimore's flawed, but I didn't have them turning the Ravens over 5 times in that game. Like, the defense, Joe Burrow's obviously going to be every story because he's Joe Burrow, but the Bengals' defense showed up.
Yeah,
was the biggest surprise for me of the entire day.
That team obviously plays with a different kind of confidence when Joe Burrow is out there, but I took more from that game on the Ravens side that there's some issues there. And Lamar might be the single biggest freak I've ever seen in my life with how fast he is. And he made one throw last night where I just looked at the person I'm watching the game with, and I'm like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, he just flicked his wrist and that ball went 50 yards on a line, and it was a fastball and got to where it needed to. But man, outside of him and Derrick Henry, they've got a lot of problems on that team.
They do, and he's not the same. He's not running the football this year the way that he has in previous seasons. I mean, he only has 264 yards rushing on the season in 9 games. He's usually a 60-plus yard-per-game average rusher. I mean, he's got several seasons. I mean, just last year, he ran for 915 yards, 6.6 a carry last season. So he's not running it as much as he used to, and I don't know if he's still banged up or what. But that's the thing that jumps out to me, is they don't have that same weapon that they used to have, and everybody else has kind of taken a step. And in the meantime, like, what is going to happen in the AFC North? I mean, Pittsburgh hosts Buffalo this weekend, and as we stand on this thing, I thought maybe three teams from this, two or three, felt like two for sure. Now it's going to be one, clearly, just one. But Baltimore's sitting there at 6-6. Pittsburgh is a home dog playing Buffalo. They're 6-5. The Bengals are 4-8. The Browns are 3-8. Like, 9 wins might do it in this division this year, as crazy as that sounds. But it was fun to see Joe back out there. And even though he wasn't on the same page clearly early with everybody, he got on the same page. And it's always fun watching him get to sling it around, especially on a Thanksgiving night. Of course, our focus here is on the game. The two men who will be in charge of the two teams, you're going to hear from them coming up next. Ryan Day on the Buckeye side of things, Sharon Moore on the Michigan side of things. It's up in 2 minutes, Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Shippin' Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
Sup, man?
Sup, Jew?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
Samuel in the backfield with Barrett, who feeds it to Samuel. Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points. Double overtime. Curtis Samuel sweeps around the left side for the touchdown run to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory.
You know, it's so amazing about reliving that one was if you were there, and it didn't show up on the television copy, but if you were there and you hear it in the background of Paul's call on that touchdown, how quickly Seven Nation Army was ready. The fireworks, like Curtis Samuel is not a, his toe is not an inch over the line, and the fireworks went off in the South stands. It's amazing how they had it all timed up the way that they did. That's the coolest game I've ever, I mean, that's it for me, is that one. And the other thing about that one that was so crazy was Harbaugh really felt he had it, and they really outplayed Ohio State in the first half of that game. They really did. Who had the interception in the first half on our side? There was an interception in the first half of that game that flipped it. But it's these memories that you have and that carry on forever. And so when you're one of the guys who's coaching in this game, whether it's Ryan Day or Sherrone Moore, this is the responsibility that comes with it. And you build towards this all season long. Ryan was available several times this week. He was asked how much he looks forward to the game. Here's what he had to say.
Well, I think that goes back to what we talked about, the whole idea of chopping wood and carrying water and, you know, knowing that you just can't, like, hustle to, you know, the Saturday after Thanksgiving. You know, you got to play through the year, and there's a lot that goes with it. And it's a building process and a foundation. You know, we're finally here. So this is the best part of it. You know, we've been waiting a long time to get back to this week.
And one of the things you try to do when you're a coach, and I asked Urban about this because he's really the best I've ever seen at it, and not just in this one. He was 26-3 in rivalry games in his four stops, which is just a stupefying achievement. But he was always able to sharpen the knife razor sharp, but not too sharp that it became weak. And that goes to the handling of the emotions of it. And Ryan talked about that earlier this week.
You have to play with emotion, but you can't let it play with you. And you have to learn to use it as nitrous, not as a primary fuel source. And I think that's where, you know, our guys have to continue to just focus on the process of how they prepare for games. And you know, they're going to have enough emotion when they get into the game. We don't need to incite any more of that during the week. They know how important this is. They know that this is our number one goal every year to win this game. So that'll be our focus. And like you said, I mean, you start to get, you know, over emotional, then you can start to get distracted and get yourself out of whack and not do your job. So let's just focus on each individual guy, making sure that at the end of the day, they've graded out a champion and that their positions have graded out a champion.
And that comes to that preparation. And I do think that they've been building to this all season. I think they've held stuff back offensively and defensively. I think they've held stuff back in the red zone. I think they've put stuff out on tape that they're not going to use. I think they've done all of those things as this has gone along. This has been a slow burn all season. And with that, though, comes preparation and comes confidence. Here's Ryan Day on those two things.
It's easy to start to, you know, get distracted. At the end of the day, like, the more prepared you are, then the more confident you go into games. And that's, you know, something that we focused all season on. And prepared each week the same way. And focused on the things that, you know, we have to make sure we master in order to win this game. So, yeah, I mean, it's important to go in with confidence. And a big part of that is how you prepare. It's like when you go into a test and, you know, you know what the answers are. You come in and you walk in like, you know. And that's just the way it is in any game. And it includes this one.
On the other side of it, Sherrone Moore has had a devil-may-care attitude in this one. And you don't like giving any credit to anybody up there, but you have to give it to him. His teams have played above their heads in these games when he's had to coach in it. And last year, of course, was the most obvious version of that. This is a guy who played at Oklahoma, but put himself into the middle of it right away. And here is Sherrone Moore on the feeling of the rivalry.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I was talking to Coach Lindsay about it. He's been the Iron Bowl, and we've talked to people that have been the Iron Bowl, and in this one, it's different. You can't describe it. Like, literally, I could try to describe you the feeling of exactly what it feels like. Oh, it feels like this. It feels like this. I can't. Like, I remember last year going on the field with Jayshon, and we're running out during warm-ups. He's like, oh, this is different. He's like, and Jayshon don't say much, so for him to say that. He said, this is different. So it's a feeling that you can't really describe. It's an intensity. It's a you know, it's just an aura about it that you can't describe until you get on the field. But it's awesome to be a part of. It's great to be a part of. It's the best rivalry in sports, in my opinion. The funnest one to be a part of. It's competitive. But there's nothing like it.
How many of these have you guys been to? Ohio State Michigan games?
4, I want to say. 1 as a fan. 3 covering.
I have never been to one as a fan or a media member.
Oh, okay. Well, that changes next year.
it almost changed yesterday.
Yeah.
And if I'd have known I was going to Wapakoneta before Tuesday, it would have changed.
God, can you imagine you just taking a stop to spend the night in Lima, just see what all that city has to offer, and then zoom right up?
Hit a Frickers and then been on my way.
Who gets hurt?
No one.
All wins. I suppose I've been to a dozen of them by the time I think of it. It is different. And the first time that I was at one up there was 07. First time here was obviously 8. 8 had a very different feeling to it because Michigan was completely neutered at that point. But there is, you don't have to be, it helps, but you don't have to be from here or there. You can be from where I am from, and you can have been to other great rivalry games that are out there in the sport. And this one is different. And I think it's because for all of our lives, whether you grew up here or there, this is one that's on television at noon on this Saturday. And it used to be before Thanksgiving, but for most people's lives who are football fans in this country, this is the nationally televised game all year. And there is something about the way that the two uniforms hit. You know, silver is kind of the opposite. I mean, they're maize, but it's the opposite. Red and blue, the scarlet and navy of the two of them, it just hits different. And it's the way that the camera shoots games at the Big House, or that it shoots games at Ohio Stadium. And when you walk into that hole up there, and you can feel it. It's really hard. It is hard to describe. And there's a buzz to it. There's a nervous energy to it. And typically the team that handles that best is the one that, because you want to be at an 11, but you do not want to be at 11.5. And that's really the key to it, is to get all the way to 11, but to not overcook it. And I think that sometimes that's a really hard thing to manage. And I think that's how it manifests sometimes with Marcus Hall, with what he did, the near fight in the pregame tunnel that year in 2013 up there. I think that's what happened last year at the end of the game here.
And I wonder how much of the emotions from last year's game with some of the guys that were on this team added to some of the, I guess, added to the spiciness of what this Ohio State football team is, where I think I've talked about this. Ryan Day has told you that he's had to break up fights at camp, more fights than he's ever had to. This team has an edge. Mm-hmm. You know, Michigan's going to be playing with confidence. I think it was one of their players last year said they better learn how to lose. And they're planting the flag in the middle of Ohio Stadium. And so that tunnel meeting, I'm very curious to see how coaches handle the players if and probably when Ohio State and Michigan players walk past each other, either during warmups or pregame itself.
It's the craziest damn thing you've ever seen in your life.
It's
the,
stupid.
The two doors are across the hall up there. They're across the hall from each other. You can hear them.
Yep. And you don't think they'll be yelling a little louder from both sides?
It is nuts that they have not at some point, like I'm told smart people go to that institution. It is crazy to me that they have not built a second way to get to the locker room.
When you guys are talking about this right now, it just, Jermaine Matthews pops into my head. Mm-hmm. Davison Igbinosin, Philip Daniels. Like,
yeah.
Those seem to be the three that might be leading the charge into stuff like that.
Well, and you got to be careful because you don't want to do something stupid that costs your team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing where the emotions run over. So how do you play with emotion? How do you play emotionally without being emotional? That's the challenge. Because we've seen it go to 11.5, and then you're cooked. And it gets nervy, and it's all of those things. I got news for you guys. I'm glad it's up there. I think that, and I've said this before about Ohio Stadium, Ohio Stadium can get very nervy for the men in scarlet and gray. It can. There's a tension
that can happen.
Yeah, for sure. There's a tension that comes with it when things aren't going well for the home team early, that it becomes quiet and it becomes nervy. I'm glad it's up there. The mentality of it, the sound, all of it, us against the world. I really prefer this game to be played up there this year. And I can't wait to see how the Buckeyes respond to all of this. We'll get the Michigan side of this with our great friend John Ubakin, New York Times bestselling author. He'll join us at 10 o'clock. Coming up next, a little bit of Shelly time. Another fun one for the Jackets. We'll see if they can get a win this time around. They get the Pens tonight at Nationwide. We'll get into that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Oh, this week it's Rivalry Week, or as we like to call it, Beat Michigan Week, or Try Not to Get Pepper Sprayed Week. Rivalry Week sounds better. Let's go with that.
Rivalry Week on The Fan is sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
Ryan Day has proven he has what it takes to win a natty, but can he take control of the biggest rivalry in sports? Will Julian Sayin or Jeremiah Smith have a Heisman moment? Will the fan staff consume 500 wings in a single setting? Let's find out together. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Those are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. The Gloves. Shelly time.
Sponsored by Midwest Cards. Experience collecting in a whole new way.
Indeed it is. And boy, what a fun night at the Old Barn tonight. Penguins in town. Time for a little bit of Shelly time. Before we get to the game, what was your Thanksgiving MVP? Which dish was your favorite?
Stuffing is the one I go with extra cranberry. I mean, you know. You sick of food right now.
You put it right on there. The cranberry right on there.
Right in. Mix it in. Juice it up.
That's a good job. How about you? Which dessert do you go to? So I'm a stuffing guy too. I do like a stuffing. I kind of mix it all together. I don't love Thanksgiving, the food, but it's fine. And so I take the turkey, the stuffing, the mashed potatoes, the corn, like all of it. And I kind of, it's all in one bite. A little bit of everything.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's kind of my... I don't like graze in one area before moving on. I kind of just make it one big plate. Yeah. Sometimes it hits.
Well done.
I do the best I can with it, buddy. Hey, so this has been kind of a trend, right? Where have leads, give them up, and you get the point and all of this stuff, but you don't get the two. And these are, you know, some of these are two-pointer games. A lot of these recent ones have been. What do you... Is there anything to make of it, or are you still playing good hockey? Like, do we make anything of it?
Okay, so, yeah, there's injuries, but there's still opportunities in all these games in the last month to put the game away, to get the next goal, right? And they haven't done it. I think teams that take the next step are able to get that next goal, right? Monahan has had a few breakaways in the past month. That would put the score to a 3-goal lead instead of a 2-goal lead. And that's when everything changes, right? If the team's within 2 goals, they're pressing to get that next one to know that everything changes mentally for the opposition. And I just think that that's where they have not taken advantage. A power play. You know, you good teams get a power play, put teams away. And that's something this team has to do now to take the next step. But they're also missing, and things we don't talk about a lot when they're winning, Boone Jenner, Erica Branson, Kirill Marchenko, Matthew Olivier. That's, you know, that's a big part of their leadership group, and a lot of guys that bring their battle level up and also bring reminders to the locker room at times and say, you know, let's put this one out of reach. The other thing is there's a little bit of fatigue in this game right now, and you're seeing it everywhere. But I think that teams, you know, I wonder if they practice too much. And that sounds crazy to say, but I just think that there is a level of managing this group. And we talk about the schedule all the time, but there's been, you know, there's a lot of time at the rink. It's right from camp until now. And I think that, you know, there needs to be awareness of kind of where this team is at and what you're pushing to get out of them to keep them mentally fresh the rest of the way here, or at least till the Christmas break.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, there's, you mentioned Monahan, and you think about, like, when we thought what this team, and this team, it's still early. I mean, we're a quarter of the way into this thing, so we got a long way to go, but we're also kind of into it now. And
we're into it.
Yeah, and Monahan with a really slow start, just 10 points through 24. Kent Johnson, Jode, five points in 23 games? This guy scored 50, had 57 points last year. Like, this isn't the way that it's supposed to be. Even in the overtime against Toronto, Fantilli didn't go out first. I think he came out third line, if I remember. What is going on kind of with all that stuff?
Kent Johnson was in the doghouse kind of right away, or didn't really have a spot to fit in. And there was a certain amount of battle level that comes with this coach, where you have to at least battle and win puck battles. And, you know, Kent Johnson, we go back to last year, Dean Evason had him wanting him to play straight ahead hockey, not that side to side skill, take a peek, you know, see what's happening behind you. It's giddy up and go. And there's been a little bit of that wobble back in his game. So they're trying to get him going in that sense of, like, drive it up into the offensive zone, then make your plays. But he's not getting a lot of time and space. This has been a very defensive, heavy checking start of this year for these guys. A lot of Western teams, which play heavier, bigger body, not so much focus on puck. It's more like grind. Mm-hmm. Put it in and grind everywhere. And that's, you know, guys like Kent Johnson are having a tough time. Monahan's got to be banged up to me. There's something got to be going on with him. You know, there's something like if you look at how he shoots the puck, you know, there's just some times where you're like, there's not a lot of pop on what's going on there with his shot. So I wonder what's going on with him. He did have that wrist surgery last year, so I'm not assuming, but I'm just saying that's a fact. I just think that there's, you know, there's better fits for these guys, but you put them there for one game or one period, and it's not really the opportunity they're looking for, you know? Yeah. I think that some of these guys need more of an opportunity, but it's the regular season and they're in a tight race, so it's not about, I hope you get going in the next five games, we're just going to play there. It's about, what can you do for us tonight? I hope tonight it pops. And that's where the coaching staff is at with these guys right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting start, to say the least. Always fun when the Pens come to town. And they've defied a little bit. I think a lot of people thought they'd be one of the worst teams in the East, and they have come back.
Absolutely.
But boy, they're off to a hell of a start here for what certainly we thought the standards would be for them.
Everything's clicked. Goaltending. They've got young players hopped in their lineup and playing tremendously, and they've got their older guys. You may have heard of them, Letang, Crosby, and Malkin. Just having fun. They're getting goaltending, which makes everything fun. You can do whatever you want. If you don't have the save, you know, it's really discouraging. So their goaltending is shored up. They got a new coach in Dan Muse. You're probably going to say, who's that? Everyone is going to say, who's Dan Muse? Yeah. He was an assistant coach with the Rangers. He's been around in Nashville a little bit. He's brought in a totally new voice and new attitude. And, you know, Mike Sullivan was just there long enough to win a couple cups. And it was time for a new voice. And that's the power of a new voice, new attitude, and some new, fresh, young blood for this team. So they're playing a really disciplined, hard brand of hockey with the elite skill and leadership they have. It's going to be a handful tonight here for the Blue Jackets.
Get you out of here on this one. Any changes, lines, pairings? I assume Jet back in net.
You know, yeah, we should probably make that assumption tight. I don't know. He's going to talk here in 30 minutes, Dean Evason.
Okay.
I don't think there's bodies enough to make any changes right now. Mm-hmm. But Luca Pinelli came in as a rookie, mm-hmm. played his first game, and he could have won the game three times or four the other night. So that's encouraging for the depth that they have here, and he brings a little more speed. But we'll see here in a little bit. Right now, I'm just having a coffee. Just relax.
God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving, buddy, to you and your family.
All right. Enjoy the shopping today. I know you'll be out there in the masses. Enjoy
oh,
that.
Yeah.
Some great
yeah.
deals.
Yeah, great. Sure, though. That's exactly what I'll be doing.
I'll see you in line this afternoon.
Sounds good, buddy. I'll see you.
Have a good weekend. Go Bucks. See you guys.
There he goes. Jody Shelley and a little bit of Shelley time on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. New York Times bestselling author, one of my favorite guests, one of my favorite hits all year, comes up next. John Ubakin, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
It's rivalry week, and dare I say the most rivalist one ever. Me Talk Pretty.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan.
Men, it's...
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Eric Reese, sir. The 121st edition of The Game is tomorrow in Ann Arbor. Number one, Ohio State's a 9.5-point road favorite, but 15th-ranked Michigan has won the last four games in the series. It'll be a big noon kick from the Big House. We'll have pregame coverage tomorrow morning on The Fan at 6:30. On the field Friday, Ohio University is at Buffalo. Bobcats need a win today and some help to play Western Michigan next week in the MAC Championship. At noon Friday in Starkville, Mississippi State hosts number 7 Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl. Rebels head coach Lane Kiffin's going to announce his future plans sometime after the game. In the NFL, the Eagles host the Bears at 3 o'clock today. And on the ice at Nationwide tonight, the Blue Jackets welcome in the Pittsburgh Penguins face-off at 7 o'clock. This update's sponsored by Roosters. For every $50 you spend in Roosters gift cards this holiday season, you'll receive a $10 Roosters bonus buck. Get them at Roosters locations or online at roosterswings.com.
Your emails on the air,
but we won't tell you where to send them.
Hey, we're not doing all the work for you.
This is Bishop and Friends.
Second hour here on the Football Friday, the game set for tomorrow. One of the really cool things that has happened to me over the course of this rivalry is getting to meet people from the other side of it. And one of the folks that I so look forward to talking to every single year on this Friday is our next guest, and he joins on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Hotline, John Ubakin, Michigan football expert, historian, New York Times bestselling author. His current New York Times bestselling book, The Gales of November, The Untold Story of the Edmund Fitzgerald, and he joins us now. My friend, I'm going to ask you about the book because I have a crazy anecdote that I have just personally about it, but I did want to start with this. When this week comes around and you start getting those 614 numbers pop up on your phone, what is that one like for you?
Oh, I love it, actually. Look, the Buckeye media have been always great with me. You, Tim May, a bunch of others, Bill Rabinowitz and so on, all good friends of mine and done a great job. There's no media that covers their team, I think, as intensely as Ohio State. That's always fun. B, the Buckeye fans, I have to tell you, have been extremely good to me online and elsewhere, always some exceptions, as we know. But when I'm at the Horseshoe, I get stopped as often as I do, almost as often as I do, at the Big House, and I've never had a bad scene yet. It's always, hey, you know, like your stuff on TV, the rivalry on Bo's show and so on. Hate Michigan, go Bucks. But hey, I like your work.
It's beautiful, and it's, you know,
don't ask for more, Bo. Don't ask for more. That's all I can say.
That's it. I it's funny because what I always enjoy about your perspective is the fact you're an Ann Arbor kid, and so you have your whole life in this rivalry. And one of the things that I remember discussing you is it was going really poorly for Michigan over that 20-year trestle to Urban situation. were quick to point out, like, these things are cyclical. It'll always come back around, and even if a lot of Michigan fans couldn't see the forest through the trees on that, inevitably it did.
It did, but man, there's been no cycle like that in the history of the rivalry, or even close. 20 years like that, just crazy. And then, as you say, it was, you know, two coaches mainly, but three in part, of course, with Ryan Day. So, And I also got to say, too, last year's game, if you want proof of what this rivalry is, just look at last year's game, because without a rivalry, there's no way that ever happened. The talent gap was a canyon. It was not even close. Without the voodoo of the rivalry, I don't think it happens.
And that's the thing that I think Ryan is trying to deal with now, right? Because he feels that part of it. And I tell folks around here, look, a couple of those four losses, like Michigan had a national championship team. They were the better team, you know, a couple of times. And of course, people around here want to talk about Stallions and all of that. And I get that too. And I think in a way that only all adds to it, doesn't it, John? It's all you. I mean, they were 20.5-point dogs last year coming into here and pulled it off, and it defied all sorts of logic, but that's what the rivalry does. And so when I hear people, even people as esteemed as Nick Saban, say that, you know, Buckeye fans are crazy for thinking that this game matters as much as a national title, I say, well, Nick, you haven't lived in Columbus or Ann Arbor.
That's absolutely true. And keep in mind, Ann Arbor's crazy about this game, and Columbus is insane.
Yeah.
So it's 90% to 100%, basically, is what the margin is there. A little crazier. No, it's exactly right. And look at Harbaugh. I always felt, as far as his tenure at Michigan, he needed to win once. Once you win once, then the monkey's off your back. 2016 could have been that. Mm-hmm. And I've seen more photos of that than I've seen of the Bruder film, I swear to God. and Bo, I tell you honestly, I've seen a million angles, and I can't tell either way. To this day, yeah. I can't tell. So at that point, you really can't overturn it. I don't think they should have overturned it based on what little we knew. But whatever. So if they won that game, then maybe the whole thing's different. But when they finally won one, they started, now you're winning games you should have no business winning, like last year. So this year, of course, Ohio State is heavily favored and should be. No question about that. But again, what Michigan has going for it, they're clearly a better team than last year. Not saying a hell of a lot. But it's the voodoo. Last year I woke up and I tweeted that Michigan's got a 5% chance to win this game. Then I heard that their only truly effective offensive player, Colson Loveland, he was out. I thought, mm-hmm. Make that 3%. So, shows you what I know. This year, I put Michigan around 20%. Because they've got clearly a competent offense. Not great, but competent. The defense is not as good, though, it must be said. And honestly, in every aspect you want to look at, I think Ohio State's got the edge. Running offense, running defense, passing offense, passing defense, special teams. I don't know. I don't know where Michigan's got an edge. I can't see it. Although you do have two first-time quarterbacks in this rivalry. So between Sand and Underwood, someone's going to have to make some plays they've not made before.
What this is, I said about this Michigan team, it's like the quietest 9-2 blue blood football team I've ever seen. You know, like no one's, they're down there in the late teens ranked, and it's like they had the uneven performances, Northwestern, Purdue, so forth, but they looked sure. Pretty good against Maryland. What has this Bryce Underwood experience been like in for you watching as a fan and a historian of the game and just how they've brought him along this season?
I try not to be too much of a fan here, but the reason they're ranked, whatever they ranked now, 14th or whatever, they should be no higher. They've got an incredibly soft schedule. People don't look at that too often. They've often had brutal schedules. In 2023 they did, but not this year. And the two big boy games they had, they lost, which is USC and Oklahoma, of course, in opposite order. They've almost lost to some pretty bad teams along the way, as you point out. Even Michigan State, who's not won a Big Ten game, Michigan had a horrible second quarter, couldn't go anywhere on a team that had already all but given up. So this is not a powerhouse team by any means. So they're where they're supposed to be, I think, as far as the ranking goes. In fact, I'll say this. If they beat Ohio State, then they will get into the playoffs just on the virtue of you got two losses and then beat the King. Mm-hmm. But Ohio State will still be seeded higher than Michigan and should be, even with a loss, unless Michigan wins by 40, which is sure as hell not going to happen. So that's where they are. Watching Bryce Underwood, I think that they've done a good job of bringing him along without asking him to do too much. Pretty rarely has he looked like a true freshman, but where he is still very much a freshman is he can't pick up secondary receivers. If the defensive line can get real pressure on him, he'll leave too early. He will not pick up a secondary receiver. And if the corners and whatnot can cover the main guy he's looking for, he doesn't have a plan B other than scampering for maybe 10 or 15. He can run, as you know. They don't want to run him very much. But it's going to be on him. And if he can pick up a secondary receiver, then the game is different. And maybe tomorrow he can. I don't know. But right now, that's the biggest thing. But they brought him along very well, and they've not brought him along to win this game. They brought him along to be competitive in year two and three, and that's what they're going to be.
I was talking to Urban on Wednesday about it, and I asked him about Underwood, and he goes, and you know Urban, like he loves a quarterback who can run. He's like, I'd run him 15 right. times in this game. Do you think Sherrone will do that? Will they? Because they haven't shown that much this year. He's stayed in the pocket for the most part, John.
Well, yeah, he has, and they're very reluctant to run him. I think Sherrone Moore's quote was, you're going to run your quarterback 20 times, you better have two quarterbacks, and there's some truth in that. Mm-hmm. But this is the game. Tell me how many times Urban Meyer has been wrong in his analysis of these things. Not too many, exactly. And I mean, it drives Michigan fans crazy, but I've got a very good relationship with Urban Meyer. He talked to me for fourth and long when his mm-hmm. first season at Ohio State. Before, during, and after the game, thanks to the great Jerry Amig, who is retiring soon, I believe, but he's been wonderful. Yeah. But Urban Meyer, man, he is point blank, between your eyes, exactly what he thinks every time. And I love talking to Tressel. He's always mm-hmm. a very nice guy, remembers your name, that kind of stuff. But I look at my notes after 15 minutes and realize I don't have a quote. Mm-hmm. it's why he should be governor. But Urban Meyer, man, between the eyes, and I think he's right. I don't know if Sherrone will do that or not. I don't know how Michigan wins without him running 15 times, because not only do you need those yards, and if you want to take a chance, now's the time. But he will not be able to pass without it. He cannot. If they don't fear the run, he will not be able to pass. It's just that simple. And aside of that, by the way, the advancements in helmets have been extraordinary over the last 20, 30 years, and now the knee is more exposed than ever. Mm-hmm. Why can't we get this right?
Yeah.
This relates to Bryce Underwood. Why are there no good knee protection to this day? It's crazy. But anyway.
Yeah, it really is. Talking to New York Times bestselling author John Ubakin, great friend of the program. We do it every single Ohio State Michigan week. We have him on the Friday. It's a great thrill. Your most recent book, The Gales of November, The Untold Story of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Here's my confession, my great friend. My mom would play the Gordon Lightfoot song as a kid, and I remember it vividly. Until a month ago, when I saw your book was coming out and was excited about it and pay attention to everything you write, I assumed this happened in like 1915. I just remember the song and I assumed that it happened 100. I had no idea this was 50 years ago, buddy.
Bo, I get that one. I've done about 30 events from Miami to Montana, including the Meat Eater podcast. Very popular, by the way. I didn't even know about that before. And Stephen does a great job. How about that? Every single time in line, we've had sellout crowds, hundreds, wherever I've gone, it's been great. Including Cleveland. I'm going back to Cleveland on December 15th. You can find that on johnubakin.com at the brewery. So check that one out at the Beautiful. Great Lakes Brewery. Out of 100 people, two people at least, every time, will tell me either they thought the song was fictional, just made up, or two, it was the 1800s and a schooner. So 1915 is not that bad compared to what I've been hearing. Either it never happened or a civil war. Like that. No, it was November 10th, 1975, 50 years ago and whatever, 2 weeks, basically. So, no, it's actually current events, and your mom remembers it. I remember it. I was an 11-year-old kid. You don't. I know that. But your peers do. Tim May does. I know he does. Next. Ask Tim May about it. That old man knows about it.
He absolutely does. Congratulations on the incredible success. Another New York Times bestseller for you. It's a great thrill to talk to you. I never take it for granted. Love the conversation. Thank you so much for your time, buddy.
Always have a great time. I can't say go Bucks, of course, but here's to a good game.
Absolutely, sir. And hopefully everyone behaves, at least to a certain degree.
I'll say that. Everyone behaves on the field, off the field, and a minimum of serious injuries. How about that?
That's a win for everybody. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, buddy. We'll talk again soon.
You got it. See you, Bo.
All right, there he goes. John Ubakin, Michigan football historian, reporter, New York Times bestselling author on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. If you watch The Rivalry, the HBO doc of that, he's the MVP. His stories about Bo and Fielding Yost and all of that, that's the MVP of that one from the Michigan side of it. We'll open up the mailbag. One of the questions, our favorite memory of this game. We will get to that coming up next. Tim May, as John, you just mentioned, coming up at 10:30. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
To 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts.
Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan,
Ohio sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
only there was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll have a chance for scattered flurries and isolated snow showers throughout the day. Otherwise, skies will be partly sunny with daytime highs getting in the mid to upper 30s. And then for tonight, mostly clear overnight with our lows down into the teens and low 20s. For Saturday, we do have a slight chance of snow showers in the afternoon. Otherwise, clouds will be increasing and daytime highs will be in the mid to upper 30s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
It's Friday and there's football. I shall call it Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for all things football. The Fan. Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like. But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
Smith calls for the ball on second and one. Feeds it to Pittman, who goes straight ahead. First down, 50-yard line, 40. Pittman, he may be gone. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Antonio Pittman. 56 yards to the house. Antonio Pittman only needed one. He got 56. And it's 34-24 Ohio State.
That's awesome. That's a great one there, which now brings us to the mailbag. Go ahead and hit it, fellas.
Our comment box is always open. Any feedback is mostly appreciated.
The mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more. You got to get it up. And the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in. Again.
Bishop and Friends present Emails.
Sponsored by Nationwide Children's Hospital. Donate today to light up the lawn and light up the life.
Just a quick note just for the audience. For whatever reason, if you are still emailing, and I understand why you all would, if you go through the site and email by clicking on my picture and all of that, those ones are not coming through, or I'm not able to see them. So I know that there's a ton, because I've talked with the MIT kids in the back about this, the top men, and I know there's a ton coming in, but I'm not able to see those. So the ones that we're able to see right now, and we're working on getting it fixed, efforting on getting it fixed, are ones who are emailing me directly, bo.bishop@tegna.com. Those ones are coming through. So previous emailers are the ones that I'm seeing a lot of.
Did we just not stay true to
first time
our
I've ever
promos?
Done that. Yeah.
Wow.
In a roundabout way.
I feel like that's a fake email address he just threw out there or something.
I feel bad because I know that because I've seen like the screen grabs that they're able to show me of all of these that are coming in and I'm not able to get to them because I'm not able to access them for whatever reason. But our top men are on it. A couple here that we'll get to. This one from Buckeye John, loyal listener, of course, talking about we had that conversation about two Buckeye seniors being introduced together. He mentions the Vogler twins, Tim and Terry from Covington, Ohio. They played at Ohio State 75 through 78. Tim was an offensive line, was a captain his senior year. He also has a funny line about Michigan being Michigan FC. You can imagine meaning Michigan, the F, you can imagine what that means. And then cheaters for Michigan FC, which I thought was a good job out of him. Very good job out of him. Here's another one. Speaking of that, we're talking about favorite memories, and I do have one we're going to all answer here. But this one was one of his favorite memories of senior day was Joe Bosman getting a huge cheer from the crowd on his senior day. He was not a good Division I quarterback, but that was not his fault. It was the year before Justin Zwick and Troy Smith, or they weren't ready yet, and he didn't have anyone else. He gave it his all, and the crowd said thank you on senior day. The timeline of that is a little different. Joe was actually here in the year Luke was the quarterback, so he well after. After those guys. I wonder who he's referring to that would have been... I mean, it was Krenzel in Detroit and Justin. So that doesn't... Yeah, I think your timeline's a little bit off on that one. But it was Bosman who was here. That was the fickle year when he was here. So did get this one from Jackson who asked, what is your... We've talked about the Ohio State... He writes, Bo, love the show, all the things that are very nice to say. And he said, what is your favorite memory of this game? I'll pose it to you two. What is your favorite memory of the Ohio State-Michigan game?
2007, I went with my dad up to Ann Arbor, which is a hole in the ground
To watch Beanie Wells run all over the Wolverines and Vernon Golston set up a tent in Michigan's backfield. And you got to hear, I mean, you've talked about it, but being in person, as I'm sure many Ohio State fans can attribute, hearing OHIO go around the big house is one of the cooler feelings you get as an Ohio State fan in all of sport. Really, like, there's nothing else. There's nothing else that tops that feeling of the OHIO connecting in that stadium, which is, again, a hole in the ground and sucks.
It is hard to... It is a crazy thing when it happens. And I was at that one, too, in 07. Vernon Golston became a first-round pick off of Jake Long in that game.
Dude looked like an action figure.
Yeah, like, Jake Long didn't give up a sack ever, and he gave up three to Vern that day and turned him into a first-round pick. The other thing that was crazy about that one is, like, Threes, Beanie, all those guys had roses in their mouths because there was no way they were going to play for the national title. We were going to the Rose Bowl, and we were fine with it. You come to terms with that. They'd lost to Illinois on Senior Day the week before, Juice Williams and those guys, and there was this feeling of, like, okay, pretty good consolation. It's still the Rose Bowl. Let's go to the Rose Bowl and go live. And then all that chaos ensued. I want to say they were ranked like 6th or 7th in the country. And they ended up going all the way to 1. And the team that they played was LSU. And they lost this weekend, too. LSU lost to Arkansas, but got their way back into it. And that's an incredible sliding doors because Herbie's report was right. Les Miles was going to Michigan. But he won the SEC title. And then he ended up playing for a national title. And he couldn't leave LSU at that point. But he was going because they were done with Lloyd Carr in 2007. Like, all of that stuff was real.
So, the 0-2 game I'll always remember because that was the first national championship I ever saw in my life. So, the two plays that stick out from that are the Will Allen interception at the end, but Maurice Claret on a wheel route, if you remember.
I do.
Making a great catch that, like, kept a drive alive, so I always remember that. The 0-6 game, I don't know how anybody could ever forget that, 1-2 and just everything with that. And another memory that will always stand out to me, and he became one of my favorite Buckeyes of all time, was Chris Olave's game as a freshman when he had the blocked punt and I believe two touchdown catches, and he just burst onto the scene. And it was like an all-time game from a freshman in the game. And those are some of the ones that I'll always remember. And unfortunately, there's a lot of negative I remember, but I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, I'll talk about it just briefly because I grew up watching this game from about as far as you can. I mean, I obviously grew up where I did and in Montana. That this was one of those national. This was the first national game that I remember seeing in the regular season. I remember bowl games as a kid, but in terms of regular season, this was it. And I just remember, feeling so bad for John. And I got to know Coop when I worked at Channel 10. I did the coaches' shows and I just adore Coop as a person. But I remember being as a kid being so empathetic because it was like, what is going on? Like, what is the bugaboo here? Like, he's got the better team. Like, go win this damn game. And there's so many strange ones in there. None more strange, obviously, than that stretch from 95 to 97 where you play him three times. But I do remember the 94 win he had and just the release of getting that win. I remember watching that one on television. I have so many. I mean, the Samuel walk-off, that game had it all. It had the fear that you were finally going to lose it. Harbaugh had so much in that game. And to win it the way they did with the spot and Curtis Samuel walking it off. And I alluded to this earlier, how they had the fireworks ready. And all of those things were just so ready. Like, as soon as he touched. Tyvus's interception, you got to remember, like, we rewrite the history on that a little bit because of what happened after that they lost to Michigan State in the Big Ten championship game. But that was a team that had not lost under Urban. They were perfect in 2012. They were perfect in 2013. And they went up there, and Michigan was ready. And Michigan played a great football game. And Brady Hoke did the right thing. He went for two to win it. Unfortunately, called the exact same play that he was going to call before the timeout. And so Tyvus read it, and the rest is history. But that one was unbelievable. Braxton was incredible in that game. And Tyvus stepped in front, and I thought, well, you're going to get Ohio State and Florida State in the Rose Bowl. It felt like playing Michigan State was a formality. So that one jumps out. The JT Barrett injury, I've talked a lot about the Johnny Simon game when he in 2012 here. Up there, though, man, when you see especially at the height of it, and I'm guessing you're going to see that tomorrow if you're one of those lucky enough to be up there and stay warm in that cold, is you will see these huge swaths of scarlet in that stadium, and it just pops. And there is something that's pretty cool about that. And I do think when you hear that OHIO pop around that stadium, it's a pretty powerful spot. It is a very powerful spot. And there's so many great ones, and that's why it lives on and will continue to live on only forever. Tim May has covered, I think, all 121. I think he's covered every single one. He'll join us in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Connect with the show on X at 971-BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
First and 10 Wolverines at their own 38. Kwiatkowski, tight end, motioning on the right side of the formation. Gardner gets the snap, fakes the handoff, turns at his 30 to pass, looks, and he's hit and dropped by Zach Bourne. He nailed him at the 29 and planted him like a cheap flower.
That's a great line out of Big Daddy. Planted him like a cheap flower. On the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline, he's the great Tim May, the Today Show with Clay Hall and FanStreamSports.com. There are probably a million things that flash through your mind when you think of your career covering this game. What do you remember about your first time covering this game?
You know, first time covering, because I helped cover a bunch of games before I actually started on the beat in 1984 for the Columbus Dispatch. But I'll just get to that one. You know, Ohio State had lost two games, you know, in the regular season in the Big Ten, and yet was playing for the outright Big Ten championship. And as history would have it, they're the only team that ever won the Big Ten outright, you know, before they had the playoffs, obviously, yeah. The playoff game. They ever won the Big Ten outright with two conference losses. And then the way they got it done with Keith Byers with his leg all wrapped up with that high ankle sprain, which he had suffered against Wisconsin like three games earlier. You know, he would have won the Heisman going away that year, Bo, because he would have romped over Northwestern, and not to be confused with Indiana now, but the Indiana of then. But I just remember how excited people were because Ohio State was going back to the Rose Bowl for the first time since 79 and that victory. So I remember that vividly, but just the effort Keith Byers put into it was really cool. But the entire team, I mean, Jim Lachey was on that team, you know, now he's an aged, tell him I said that, an aged, analyst, you know, but yeah, you never forget that first time in that regard. But I was there, you know, I was there in 76 sitting in the end zone when that was the last of three games. The first of three games under Woody Hayes, his last three games where Ohio State didn't score a touchdown in the game. So there are all kinds of memories come to mind when you think about this, as you could imagine.
Yeah, when I have this conversation with, and most people acknowledge this is the greatest rivalry in all of sport, but the big reason that they've always been relevant. I just was looking this up, Tim. In the last 60 years, last 57 years to be accurate, last 57 years, there's only one instance where one of the teams isn't ranked. There's not a run. Yeah. That's 1987, and that's Earl's game. That's the Earl is fired, and then they win the game for Earl in 87. That's it. That's the list. Other than that, one of them's ranked. Yeah. Most time, both of them are ranked. Tons of times, upwards of almost 15 times, they're both ranked in the top five.
Yeah, I just got chills when you said about 87, because I remember Carlos Snow going up the sideline with that swing pass. Yeah. But also remember Greg Fry windmilling his arm as he runs into the game to warm up his arm for one play, because who was that? Tom Tupel got knocked out of the game for a second and throwing a pass to keep a drive going. I mean, just all kinds of strange, odd memories pop into your head. But you're right. I mean, dude, the 2011 game, that was one of the great games in terms of just
pure entertainment with what was his name, Shoestrings or whatever, the
Denard Robinson
for Michigan versus Braxton Miller. Oh my God. Uh-huh. But of course Iowa State didn't win, so everybody has a sour taste in their mouth about it. But I mean, if you just like football, there have been some great games that involved Ohio State losing, as you well know. But for some reason or other, we're not allowed in the media to necessarily look at it that way. I talked about that in this story they did on me about the Lantern a couple of weeks ago, about covering this game and stuff. And we've seen some really dramatic moments on both sides. I mean, Jim Harbaugh with his guarantee. I was sitting like 5-6 feet from him when he made that. I'm sitting in a little classroom up there. Now it's Jim Beckler Hall in the same area. But, I mean, just all kinds of dramatics. Ohio State could have won that game if a field goal hadn't gone awry at the very end. But, it made Jim Harbaugh, at least that point, legendary. Now he sort of has a little ignominy about him, right? Yeah. but all kinds of things pop in your head. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to beander.
No, and here's the thing that's pretty interesting. The last two times that Ohio State has been number one in the country going into this game, the game of the century in 2006, a 42-39 win here, and then in 2019, yes. They were number one in the country. They beat Michigan 56-27 in Ann Arbor. It's only happened twice in the last 30 years where Ohio State's gone. We've been number two a ton. Ohio State's been number two a ton, but this is only the second time that they go in as the number one team in the country. Where are you with this one? Because I think a couple of the times in this four game losing streak, Michigan just simply had the better team. Like sometimes that happens. They had really good teams. Last year, that was not the case. And I don't think this year that's the case.
Nope.
I think Michigan's better this year than they were last year. But what is kind of your read on this thing as we get set for tomorrow?
I do think Ohio State's the best team in the country, but that doesn't really matter. Just as we found out last year, my read is both teams are playing for something. I mean, Michigan wins. if they're a two loss team, with the resume, including a win over the by acclamation number one team in the country, I don't know how they don't make the playoffs. I mean, get a double negative there. And of course they can still, by happenstance, get into the Big Ten championship game. So they're both kind of playing for the same thing. I'm curious about this, Bo. It's really interesting. I mean, and it's not necessarily a negative thought for Ohio State, but you wonder if Ohio State's got enough baggage, or excuse me, enough backing to, if it lost somehow, some way, very close game tomorrow, where they'd still be one of the top four seeds. I mean, probably not, but who knows? Yeah. But just think, they'd only have to play three games instead of playing the Big Ten championship game. I mean, all kinds of weird stuff go into your head now when you're thinking about it. It's not just winner or loser, and that sums it all up. There's so much more to play for both of these teams if they can get past this game. But, I think Ohio State wants to take care of business. I think it's, in its mind, it's on a mission. Last year was damn good. It was a national championship, as Nick Saban, was admonishing Ohio State fans about. But that was a national championship season. But this team can two-up that team. Because it could win gold pants, and it could win a Big Ten championship, and win a national championship. So I think that's driving a lot of these guys. I think it's driving Ryan Day.
I agree. He's chasing football immortality is what he's chasing. I mean, kind of what you're at.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty heavy stuff that you're tracking down. And what do you make of all of the changes that he's made this week, from flying up there versus driving? And I guess from my view, it's always like, I guess those things are great if it works.
You won't know
until tomorrow afternoon,
Yeah. Yeah. What's that line? If you don't go down a path that you're curious about and something good could happen at the end of it, then shame on you for not trying it. You heard him when I asked him that question on Wednesday, if you go back and listen to it. I mean, but like he said, the last 4 years haven't worked, And if anything, they've gone, in essence, back to fundamentals, which is, when you go on the road, on a road trip this year, you've flown. So stick with what's worked for you. I mean, that's part of that thinking. And plus, you save an hour at least of being on a bus. Although the bus, I'm telling you, goes clickety clack down that track, man, with Highway Patrol escorts and people waving. It's kind of like O.J. Simpson, you know, yeah. thing. People are waving from the overpasses as they go by,
right?
And up a rep, you know, Toledo and Finley and Bowling Green. So, but you save an hour of just sitting on your butt, you know, on a bus. Yeah. I understand that. And then coming back, if you win, you catch up on an hour of getting ready for the Big Ten Championship game, which, by the way, they haven't been to since 2020. Yeah, this is a huge game in all kinds of ways.
Do you think that they've been – the way that they've kind of coached, I kind of just kind of have this feeling they've been saving stuff offensively and defensively for this one, and I think they put stuff on tape that isn't necessarily what they want to be just to make Michigan prepare for it. I think kind of the month of November, my theory is kind of the month of November, once you got past Penn State, was kind of a let's just get to Michigan, and then there's going to be some stuff you're going to see tomorrow. Where are you kind of on how this month prepared them for this game?
All right, for example, the four tight end set they get into with the fullback and the you know, a tight end wing, and there are all kinds of things they could still do out of that. Mm-hmm. For example, so Michigan, they've already shown about five or six things there, including handing the ball to Nate Roberts, you know, a couple times. A fullback dive, are you kidding me? Ohio State?
Right.
They don't even call him a fullback. But then, you know, the curious thing to really delve into that box tomorrow, you're going to have to have at least one of those two big time receivers around to really gain the attention you want from the wide receiver room, and I'm talking about Jeremiah Smith and or Carnell Tate. I truly expect Jeremiah Smith to figure out a way to play tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter what the doctors say, Carnell Tate still up in the air, you know, in terms of I don't have a clear thought about him. But yeah, to really get into that box, they're going to have at least one of those guys. So that'll be the most curious thing on the availability report if either one or both of those guys are available. But yes, there's so many places they could go. And, you know, and Lincoln Kinos was kind of I really like the fact they've gotten him into the game. And, you know, he's run with gusto. He's had a few passes where he looks totally different than he did the last time you saw him throwing the ball like the last couple of years. I really like where they could go there. But I'm a believer of stick with what gets you down to the red zone. You know, forget about cute plays, gimmick stuff. Mm-hmm. And I call putting in your other quarterback, I call that a gimmick. You know
me
what I mean?
Too.
I would say stick with what you've got because Julian Sayin is clearly the better passer, and that gives you even more of a conundrum for the defense once you get down there and get into the four tight end set, for example.
I'll get you out of here on this. You got about 30 seconds. How do you see this one going?
Uh-oh. I see Ohio State holding sway. I mean, the weather's going to be a factor, but it's not as much as a lot of people would think. The cold is going to be the thing. The wind's going to be somewhere in the 5 to 8 mile an hour range. At least that's the forecast now, right? It's changed every damn day.
Yeah.
You know, the snow is not going to be a factor until all of us are coming back from the game, it looks like. But I see Ohio State being the better team. And this team has played in such a methodical fashion this year. If they don't make Michigan bigger than or better than what it is right now, Ohio State's the better team. Yeah. We saw USC handle Michigan. But you know what? Ohio State has a passing game, even though I know USC has a really good passing game with that wide receiver. He's really good. Just stick to what's gotten you here, which is that mix, man. Don't try to muscle somebody out of the way.
Enjoy it. I know you will. Great talking to you, buddy, every week, but especially this week. We'll do it again next week.
Always a pleasure. You know that, Bo.
There he is, the great Tim May, the Tim May Show with Clay Hall on fanstreamsports.com. They had a conversation with John Ubakin on his podcast. So if you enjoyed the brief hit that John had with us, you can have an extended version with Tim and Clay at the Tim May Show with Clay Hall. We'll do Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place.
This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Progressive Insurance.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Love football.
Love wings.
Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Burn live at Roosters.
Presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling.
Large amounts of football and all the ducky sauce you can handle. Mondays on the Fans YouTube channel.
Eldorado.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And Guest Hotline is sponsored by Ohio Heating and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who? Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Fourth and one for the Michigan 44. Now Vanette motioning from right to left. Cardale Jones gets the snap. Jones hands it. Elliott goes all the way to the 30, to the 20, to the 10. Touchdown! Ezekiel Elliott on a 44-yard run on fourth and one.
That's... which game? Is that 14?
Yeah, that's what the date
after
on the
JT
call
went
is.
Out. That's after, because Cardale, initially I thought that was, when you told me you were going to, and these are also great. Thank you, Beck, for doing it. Initially I thought that was going to be 15 when Zeke ran for 214 in that game, but then the Cardale hand, that's the one from 14, that he got, in 2014 when JT went down and then Cardale was thrust in. Time for a little thing or not a thing on the Football Friday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
In an appearance on the Pat McAfee Show earlier this week, Nick Saban talked about having his teams ready to play in big-time road rivalry games.
You have to have resiliency. Because it's going to be difficult to play on the road, but that difficulty is what creates an opportunity to have a great win. So if you focus on the right things and look at it as an opportunity, and, you know, I said it last year. I mean, these Ohio State fans, they're psychotic about this, man. They all need to go to see the doctor someplace. I'd rather win the national championship than beat Michigan. That's just me. Right. Although I'd love to beat Michigan, don't get me wrong. When I was at Ohio State the last year, we beat them up there. Similar situation, except in reverse. They were ranked really high. We had already lost two games. And, you know, we had a terrible negative week of practice. But Woody came and talked to the team and said, this is an opportunity for a great win. And that was the difference in the mindset of how we played. And they played tight and we played loose. And we played ass over tea kettle and won the game 14-9. I remember that game from 1981 as much as any.
There's so much here, but ass over tea kettle thing or not a thing.
You're right. There is so much. And I think he contradicts himself at the end when he says that Ohio State fans are psychotic about it. And he says, I remember that game from 1981 as much as anything.
Huh.
So he knows. He knows exactly what it's all about. And I think, look, like, the reason all of this works is because of how all of you view Ohio State football. And it is it a pressure cooker, unlike many in sport? You know, it's probably, I always keep going back, I think it's the best example. I think it's kind of like Real Madrid. Like, we expect you to win the league, we expect you to win the Copa del Rey, we expect you to win the Champions League, and oh yeah, beat Barcelona. Like, that's the job. And I think that's what everybody here signs up for. I think that all changed with Tress. When Tress beat Michigan and then won the national title, and then it amped up bigger with Urban, where it was like, beat Michigan, win the Big Ten, win the national title. It used to be just beat Michigan. Beat Michigan. For the longest time. And now it's this something else entirely, and it's what is demanded. And Ryan knows that. Everybody on that staff knows what's on the line in this thing Saturday and what's expected.
For the longest time, it was always beat Michigan because you couldn't have the rest of your goals without it.
Yeah.
Right? You couldn't go to the Big Ten championship without beating Michigan. You couldn't win a national championship without beating Michigan. And maybe you can't win a Big Ten championship without beating Michigan because you haven't done it the last 4 years and you haven't won one. We know that's really not the case, theoretically, but it hasn't happened the last 4 years. And I think that's what makes this game tomorrow so important for everyone, because it's been so long since you haven't been to Indy, since you haven't played the following weekend for the Big Ten Championship. I, like you, Bo, the first thing that I went to in that was all of the big games Saban has coached in. All of the national championship games Saban has coached in. The Georgia-Alabama games. Even games in the pros. You know, Dolphins-Patriots, Dolphins-Bills, Dolphins-Jets, things like that. And that game in 81 will always stick out in his mind as one that he remembers. Yeah. Maybe there's a reason we're the lunatic fringe, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I just saw this from Michael Casagrande, who writes for Alabama.com. Lane Kiffin in an SEC Network interview says Mississippi State fans broke into their locker room at 3 a.m. and stole quarterback Trinidad Chambliss's jersey. They know this because they set up cameras in the dressing room.
Oh, come on.
Ole Miss plays at Mississippi State today at noon in the Egg Bowl. Then, you know, in the next 24 hours, you're getting the Lane Kiffin decision. Thing or not a thing?
Wow. Holy smokes. That one might be underrated. That Mississippi State-Ole Miss one, that might be underrated. That's unbelievable. And Mississippi State had to be, they had to collude with that. You're not breaking into a college football locker room without someone leaving a door open. There's no way that you're not doing that if someone's not letting you, not in this day and age. Lots swirling around that one. We had the extension with Drinkwitz yesterday from Missouri. We get the extension with Clark Lee at Vanderbilt that happened today. Everybody's waiting on Kiffin. I saw a report midweek of Penn State thinks that they're getting Kalen DeBoer. Like, this is a crazy next 24, 48 hours in college football, in large part because of how broken it all is with the calendar. But it's going to be fascinating how this all plays out.
This is a thing and not a thing all in one, I feel like. It's a thing because this is rivalry games, right? And why don't go breaking into locker rooms. Don't do anything illegal. Like, still be a good person. Be kind. Don't do things you normally wouldn't do that would break the law and whatnot. But this is rivalry week. It makes us do crazy things. It's also not a thing. They can, if they just stole the jersey, they can get him another jersey. It'll be fine. Everything's good.
I don't know if they can. They can't get him his.
It's today.
Because they play in an hour. It's in Starkville. I don't think they could get him his jersey. I mean, they'll have backup jerseys for sure, but he's not going to wear his jersey.
I mean, I'm guessing all these guys have multiple jerseys, right?
No, I don't think so. I think when you go on the road, like, you have your jersey, and then they have backup jerseys in case they rip or something like that. So I'm guessing he'll be in a blank jersey. I don't think you can turn it around that quickly. I'd be shocked. I mean, equipment people, I don't think that that's, if he's at home, no problem. Then I think you can do it easy. But when you don't have your equipment room, I don't think you can.
Just the idea that Ole Miss had to set up cameras themselves.
Because they knew it was in play.
So I'm seeing Chris Vanini posted something on Twitter. I'd have to look into it more, of what looks like a Georgia Tech number 7 with everything Georgia Tech sharpied out with Glennon written on the back.
That was from a Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech game from maybe a decade ago.
Is that Sean Glennon?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he's wearing a Georgia Tech jersey.
Georgia Tech jersey. Yeah.
Playing for Virginia Tech. Vanini says, do it.
Yeah, crazy. All right, final hour of the program coming up next. Doug LaMaurice coming up at 11:30. When the Buckeyes have the ball, when the Wolverines have the ball, what do you expect to see? We kick it off as we attempt to know the scores coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Drop what you're doing unless you're doing nothing, then keep doing that. It's Rivalry Week.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
Go Bucks, beat Michigan.
Hey, what's up?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
From the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Number one, Ohio State wraps the regular season tomorrow at noon in Ann Arbor for the 121st edition of The Game. Buckeyes are the road favorites, but the Wolverines have won the last four in the series. Here, Ohio State and Michigan on the Fan with pregame coverage Saturday morning at 6:30. On the field today, Mississippi State hosts number 7 Ole Miss at noon. Lane Kiffin is expected to announce his future after the game. He's the hottest name in the coaching carousel. Vanderbilt's Clark Lee is another name out there, but Lee is staying in Nashville as the school announced a 4-year contract extension today. The 14th-ranked Commodores host Tennessee tomorrow. In college hoops, Ohio State looks to go 7-0. Buckeyes are on the road at Pittsburgh tonight at 7. Hear that game on the Fan with coverage at 6. And the Blue Jackets host the Penguins tonight. Face off from Nationwide, 7 p.m. This update is sponsored by Germain Toyota, the best selection of new and used cars in Central Ohio. View their full selection of vehicles online at germaintoyota.net.
10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
In the shotgun, Devin Gardner with the ball. Gardner back to throw, looks, fires, and that ball is intercepted. It gets picked off.
Or are they Tyvus Powell.
Tyvus Powell comes up with it to pick it off as Powell stepped in front of the intended receiver, Drew Dileo.
That's it.
And Powell, who recovered a fumble, picks off the 2-point try, much like Brian Roll did against Navy. And Ohio State's lead is 1 point, 42-41.
It's amazing how clutch that dude was. Like how big he was in the biggest moments, Tyvus was. It was just unbelievable. Final hour of the program here on the Football Friday. We kick it off by knowing the scores. Hit it, boys.
It's time for Know the Scores on Bishop and Friends.
Sponsored by Buckeye Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
All right, I did a quick Google search, and it's about an hour 45 from Oxford, Mississippi to Starkville, Mississippi. So if the school stumbles upon the missing, or the idea, the fact that Trinidad Chambliss' jersey is missing at about 7 a.m., they make the call, ring, 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 have it here by noon.
Yeah, possible. They can do that. Yeah, that's probably what they did. If they knew by 7, make the call, summon an equipment. Yeah, that's doable.
Get the chopper.
Yeah, there you go. They got choppers in Mississippi. Sure.
Or if they don't, Lane Kiffin, make it part of your next deal.
Yeah. I went 6-5 last week, fellas. I'm 84-57. 84 up, 57 down, picking against the scores, against the number. And, Bake, you had a good week, buddy.
Yeah, we got back on the right side of things there with an 8-3 week. So we're back up to 79-62.
Cruising, man. Great seasons.
We'll start with the Egg Bowl at noon today. Number 7, Ole Miss, is a 7.5-point road favorite, Bo.
I think Ole Miss is going to win the game. I just can't see it being anything other than a classic, whatever Mississippi State's best is. And their best is pretty good. They almost got Texas in Starkville. I think it's weird that this is noon. I wish this was at night. To me, this just feels like a night game. It should always be a night game, whether it's in Starkville or in Oxford. I like Ole Miss winning the game, but I think it's close. Ole Miss 27, Mississippi State 24.
Bo, I will say, this week is the best I've felt about my picks in a long time, so this is probably going to be a bad week. I see this totally different. I think Ole Miss is just that much better than Mississippi State. I don't even think Ole Miss has to play well to win this game. I think they cruise 2 touchdowns. Ole Miss 31, Mississippi State 17.
At 3:30 today, clean, old-fashioned hate in Atlanta. Number 23, Georgia Tech, hosts number 4, Georgia. The Bulldogs, 13.5-point favorites, Big.
There was a time earlier this year when I thought this was going to be a really, really good game. Mm-hmm. At that time, though, I probably didn't think Georgia was quite as good as they are. And I probably thought Georgia Tech was a little bit better than they are. I've got Georgia winning, and I've got them covering just barely. Dogs, 34. Rambling Wreck, 20.
Yeah, this one we see similar. I think it could get a little worse than that even. I think Georgia Tech handles it. This game, it's pretty amazing. This game is at Mercedes-Benz. It's not at Georgia Tech. So this is a home game
for
Georgia.
They sold it for $10 million. They sold it
to the stadium? Okay, yes. Well, there you go. So that's what's for. By the way, Georgia Tech has a lot of money. What are they selling things for? But this is a Georgia home game. So do we have this? Do I have this right? The 13.5 for us? Because I want it.
Because I'm looking right now, and it's already up to 16.5, but I have us at 13.5, so I'll take that. I get Georgia by a billion. Georgia by a billion.
This is your barbecue, Bo. You can make it whatever you want.
41. Georgia. Let's go Georgia 41, Georgia Tech 14.
At 7:30 tonight in West Lafayette, the battle for the old Oaken bucket. Purdue hosts number 2 Indiana. It's the Hoosiers, 27.5-point road favorites, Bo.
Yeah, I don't think it's enough. I think Cignetti's doing a couple of things, but I think one of the things he's really trying to do is get Fernando Mendoza into that Heisman conversation. So I think they will stay active. I think they will stay in it, and I think they'll bury him. I like Indiana winning this one 35-0.
So I swore I wasn't going to do this with Indiana, but I think a little differently. I think Cignetti does take the foot off the gas here. He's firmly in the Big Ten championship game. He's firmly in the college football playoff. So I do think he decelerates a little in this one at the end. I've got Indiana winning, but not covering, 37-10.
Also at 7:30 tonight, but in Austin, number 16 Texas hosts number 3 Texas A&M in the Lone Star Showdown. It is the Aggies 2.5-point road favorites. Bake.
Guys, I've been calling this for a while. I can't back off of it now. Texas wins 28-27.
Boy, Texas just dominates this series. Texas, they hate each other. Texas has got a 40-game lead overall in the series. I don't think Texas A&M has won since 2010 in this game. It's been forever. They don't play all the time either, though. I mean, they didn't play when Texas A&M was in the SEC. So they're just back to rejuvenating this rivalry. I do like this A&M team. I really like their coach. All I need is a field goal win, and I think they get it. I think this is a really fun game. This is one I'm really looking forward to. I like Texas A&M winning a classic 31-28.
The Territorial Cup is on the line tonight at 9 o'clock. Arizona State hosts Arizona. It's the Road Wildcats, 1.5-point favorite, Bo.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sense of why that would be the case. And then you realize that something must be going on with Sam Levitt. Is that where we are? Because there was talk that he was going to go in the portal and all of those things. And is he done for the year at Arizona State? He didn't play last week against Colorado. And we're not keeping as close an eye on him because of that. But I still think that Arizona State's operation with Dillingham, I still like Dillingham. He's committed there. I think they find a way somehow. I like Arizona State winning a fun game in this one. Give me Arizona State 28, Arizona 27.
So, Levitt, there is a lot of rumors about him transferring, and it says he is out with a season-ending injury. I think there's a little question about that. You know, yeah. Could he... If he was staying, could he be playing? Who knows? I'm with you, Bo. Arizona's kind of come out of nowhere here. Yeah. All of a sudden, they're ranked in the college football playoff this week down at the bottom. I just think Arizona State has been the team. Jeff Sims got in there and played fine. He's done well for them. I think Arizona State wins 31-28.
We'll go to games tomorrow at noon. We'll pick two nooners on Saturday, but Ohio State, Michigan, will do that at the end of the program. At noon in Pittsburgh, the 22nd-ranked Panthers host number 12 Miami. It's the U, 6.5-point road favorites in this one, Big.
So I'm not a total believer in Miami. I don't think they... I don't even know if they should be ranked where they are, if they're that good or not. But I still saw Pitt lose to West Virginia. Pitt is not good. Miami's also got a little something to prove here. I think they want to try to get into this thing as an at-large team. I've got Miami doubling up Pitt 34-17.
I mean, this is everything Narduzzi was pointing to. That's why he said, you know, Notre Dame doesn't matter. Doesn't matter about Notre Dame.
We can lose by 100.
And they damn near did. They lost 37-15 to the Irish at home. They were good last week against Georgia Tech. I think that this is a competitive game. I got this right at it. I do have Miami winning, but I think it's right on the number. I like Miami winning 28-21.
At 3:30 tomorrow in Seattle, Wikipedia tells me that this is known informally as the Cascade Clash or the Fight for the Forest. Washington hosts number 6 Oregon. The Ducks, 6.5
points. What did you say? The Cascade what?
Cascade Clash.
Okay.
Or Fight for the Forest.
I've been a big Washington supporter. One of the more odd losses all season was their loss at Wisconsin. That was just a stupefying loss for them to have. Because other than that, when they're at home, they're really, really good, including the game against us. And I think you're going to get a mirror of the game against us. I think Oregon is legit, and I think they are a true national championship contender. I think they go up there and get a win and exercise some demons from the Michael Penix, Bo Nix years. Give me Washington, Oregon winning this one 24-14.
Yep, I'm pretty close, Bo. I got a little more high scoring. Washington has been good at home. They're better at home, but I just think Oregon's better. And I think we kind of fell asleep on Oregon a little bit through the middle of the season there as they went through their law of their schedule. I think Oregon is really damn good. I got them winning by 10 as well, 31-21.
At 3:30 tomorrow in Norman, the 8th-ranked Oklahoma Sooners are 11.5-point favorites hosting LSU, who has officially fired Brian Kelly.
Third time, right? He's gone. I think Oklahoma's better. I don't know, like, with that Oklahoma offense, though, 11.5 points, I think, is a lot. I think Oklahoma wins. I think it's comfortable. It's never in doubt. But I've got it 27-20 Sooners.
God, LSU's a mess, aren't they?
Yeah.
Did you see what they've done the last two times out? They beat Arkansas at home 23-22. They beat Western Kentucky 13-10. Senior day, 13-10. I mean, they got some big problems. Oklahoma's defense is legit gets, and I think they get enough. I got the Sooners winning this one. I think there's a lot of give up in the Bayou country. I like the Sooners winning this one 21-3.
At 3:30 tomorrow in Knoxville, number 19 Tennessee hosts number 14 Vanderbilt. It's the Volunteers, the home team, 2.5-point favorites, Bo.
Yeah, I want this Vanderbilt thing to go away. And I like the institution. I like all of it. But the Pavia stuff is starting to drive me a little bit nuts. But I've also not been a believer of Tennessee all season long. Like, I just don't think that they're any good. And so in Knoxville, normally Feinbaum's on with us. He's been telling us all year that Tennessee is going to beat Vanderbilt in Knoxville. So I'll roll with him this week. I like Tennessee winning this one by a field goal 20-17.
Well, maybe as much as you want Vanderbilt to go away, I want Tennessee to go away. I'm tired of them.
Too.
Tired of the Volunteers. And that was my second team growing up. I had family that I would go visit all the time that lived.
Your family.
Right out of Knoxville. I'll tell you this, though. In a fight, I want Diego Pavia on my side over Joey Aguilar. Mm-hmm. Give me the Commodores, 35-31.
The final game we'll pick is the Iron Bowl. 7:30 tomorrow night, Auburn hosts number 10 Alabama, the Crimson Tide. 5.5-point favorites, Beck.
Bama's the better team. Bama should win by a lot. They should cover easy, but this is a rivalry game, and crazy things happen in rivalry games. I still got Bama covering, but just barely. Crimson Tide 27, Tigers 21.
Bama's in the craziest spot. Like, their schedule is just absolute lunacy. It's weird that this is a 7:30. This is always a 3:30, so it starts in the day and ends at night. Now it's a true night game.
Yeah, that was weird.
Which is weird. But I think Bama's better. I think worst case scenario, this is similar to their game against LSU that they won 20-9. I think best case scenario, this could be like the game against Tennessee. They won 37-20. So I like Bama comfortable in this one. They get it done by at least a score, and I don't think it's one that's going to be very close in the last 5 minutes. Is the way that one goes. All right, coming up next, what do we want to see when the Buckeyes have the ball? What do we want to see when the Buckeyes are trying to slow down Bryce Underwood and the defense? You'll hear from Ryan Day and Sherrill Moore on those matchups coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And well, we smell a little, but oof, you've accepted that.
The Fan. Men, we hear it all.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Join our resident gambling degenerates Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas for On the Money Sunday morning at 9.
Presented by ESPN Bet at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
All the action, none of the responsibility. The Fan.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll have a chance for scattered flurries and isolated snow showers throughout the day. Otherwise, skies will be partly sunny with daytime highs getting in the mid to upper 30s. And then for tonight, mostly clear overnight with our lows down into the teens and low 20s. For Saturday, we do have a slight chance of snow showers in the afternoon. Otherwise, clouds will be increasing and daytime highs will be in the mid to upper 30s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Have you already started your tailgate? Us too. It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And get ready to play, win, and celebrate big at Eldorado Siada Downs, your ultimate Caesars Rewards destination. With Caesars Rewards, you're going to earn rewards every time you play, stay, dine, or shop. Not just here, but over 50 Caesars Rewards destinations across the country. From unforgettable getaways to incredible culinary experiences, members enjoy exclusive perks and benefits that make every visit worth it. Here at Siada Downs, the excitement is nonstop. Take your pick from more than 1,700 of the hottest new games. Sip on award-winning craft brews at the Brew Brothers Microbrewery, or dive into Guy Fieri's Trattoria, home of the Out of Bounds 68-layer lasagna. And the energy just keeps building. Siada Downs has been chosen to host the prestigious Breeders' Crown in 2026, featuring 12 championship races. It's one of the biggest events in harness racing, and it's coming right here to Columbus. So come experience the action, the rewards, the unforgettable moments waiting for you at Eldorado Siada Downs, a Caesars Rewards destination where the rewards never stop. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem, call 1-800-589-9966 or visit caesars.com/sidedowns for more details. This is the matchup. What do we want to see when the Buckeyes have the ball? What do we want to see when the Wolverines have the ball? From Ohio State's perspective, I think the key to all of this thing is the quarterback, Julian Sayin. He has passed every test with flying colors. I asked Urban Meyer on Wednesday what he wanted to see out of Julian, and he said what he saw out of Texas. That was a long time ago, and Ohio State's offense is a lot different than it was then, but that day it was very, very effective. Here's what Ryan Day wants to see from his quarterback.
To continue to do what he's done and, you know, lead the team to a victory. That's it at the end of the day. And what does that look like? You know, it depends on how the game plays out. But he's got to do his job and make great decisions. And ultimately, you know, be the guy that leads the team to victory. That's the number one goal. The rest of it is gravy. So, you know, he's got to do as good a job as anybody in the building this week. I'll get out in front of it. He's got to communicate, you know, handle the environment and what comes with it. You know, he's shown composure this year, but again, now he's going to be at his best.
You play to win the game, and that is all that matters when you quarterback in this game. On the other side of it, the man in charge, or will oversee the team that's in charge of trying to stop him, is Sherrone Moore. Here are Sherrone's thoughts on the Buckeye pass game.
Yeah, it's potent, man. It's one of the best in the country, obviously the best team in the country. You know, the receivers are elite. For Jeremiah's elite. Carnell Tate is elite. You know, they got Brandon Innes, he's elite. The tight end Max Clair is a really good player as well. And quarterback is elite. You know, they've got elite players everywhere on the field from a skill position standpoint. Running back's really good. O-line's good. So it's a challenge I know our defense is ready to go take on.
I have a pretty good feel about the other side of this, guys. The Buckeye defense against Michigan's offense. I feel like Jeremiah Smith's going to play in this game. He's told us he's playing in this game. So I think that feels locked. The Carnell Tate situation has been one of the stranger injury-related situations that I can recall around here. And even we had Tim May on in the last hour at 10:30, and he still wasn't sure. And if Tim's not sure, who is sure? Like, is that one of those ones where you won't know until you get to the field tomorrow if 17's going to play? He warmed up for Purdue, guys. That was a month ago.
90 minutes before kick, I think, is the non-availability report due. So I can't imagine you even get clarity then. Like, it won't be, I think, until you get kickoff in the first Ohio State drive. Because I expect him to be out there in his uniform, although I don't say that with a ton of confidence.
I have no idea.
If he's out there in street clothes, then it really becomes a... Well, if you win the game, none of it matters. But if he's out there in street clothes and you come back Monday, it's like, you got some explaining to do on that one.
Yeah, I mean, you understand why fans are feeling like JSN. Like, where you're getting
this
that.
Is, this
like,
has happened before.
Is he done? Like, what's the injury? Some of this has to do with the ambiguity that's allowed in college football versus NFL, where you have to say what's wrong and how long they're out and what the process is. So there's that's a part of it. I think as long, I mean, God, you want them both, obviously. I do think you need one of them.
As long as you have four.
I don't believe that the game, I'll say this offensively. I don't think the game plan last week works Saturday.
No.
The whole Carnell thing is interesting because do you really gain anything by that them not knowing? I remember watching, I don't know what it was, an old baseball instructional video when I was a kid, and Pete Rose was on it. And he said every time when he was up at the plate, he was looking for a fastball. Mm-hmm. He said, because if you throw a curveball, I can adjust looking for the fastball. If you throw a changeup, I can adjust with looking for a fastball. But if I'm looking for a changeup and you throw a fastball, I'm behind.
Yep.
So they're going to go in regardless, preparing for Carnell Tate to play.
Right.
And then if you get Mylon Graham, if you get Quincy Porter, you should be ready for that. Because as good as those guys may be in the future, they're not Carnell Tate right now.
No.
So I don't understand what you really gain by not being a little more transparent with it.
Well, I don't know that they, I don't think their gamesmanship, I don't know if they know. They might not honestly know where he's at. You know, it might be something where he's got to get out there, put on the gear, run around on Saturday morning, and then we'll see. But if I give you a number, if I was to say 21, I think 21's enough.
Yeah.
Now I want it to be much more comfortable than that. But I think the way this defense is playing, I think 21 gets it done. So I don't know, but I don't know if last week's game plan gets you 21 against Michigan. I think it might have to be a little bit more open than it was last week. And the reason for that is because of how I think this Ohio State defense is going to play. And this is Ryan Day. And the key to this thing is going to be the other new quarterback in this one, Bryce Underwood, the $11 million man in all of this. And he was good last week at Maryland, but that is not this Buckeye defense. Here's Ryan Day on Bryce Underwood.
Anytime you have somebody who as mobile as this quarterback is, you know, you got to account for him. And sometimes that can be the X factor. So we got to do a good job of that in a run game and certainly, you know, when he's scrambling and making plays off schedule. And that's everybody working together. You know, if you think, you know, you're going to go into a game and, you know, just start to change how you're doing things or try to, you know, ad lib and your rush or things like that, then you got to put yourself at risk. So we got to be disciplined with that. And, you know, Tavian and Lincoln both have done a good job this week, both really good athletes. And so, you know, trying to give those guys a look because this week it's very important. You know, everything matters. And certainly the look and the scout team, everyone's going to be on point.
If you're looking for apples to apples for Underwood, week two, he was at Oklahoma in a 24-13 loss. He was 9-24 for 142. He didn't run it. He ran it three times for -1 yard in that game. The only time he really took off was against Central Michigan. The rest of the time, he really hasn't run much. He did run at Nebraska at 8-61. The other one that's kind of similar to Ohio State, although not really, is the USC game out in Los Angeles. He was 15-24, 207, two touchdowns and a pick. He ran five times for -4. So Urban had said that if he were coaching, not that I'm not putting words in his mouth, but that he wouldn't be surprised if Bryce Underwood ran it a lot. He hasn't done that yet. His most carries on the season are 9 against Central Michigan. He ran it 9 times for 114. That's in week 3. Last week against Maryland, it was 8-20. It was 9-30 in a close game against Northwestern. So that's really not what he is, but could he be that tomorrow? Certainly has it in him.
I mean, you've got Arvell Reese, who is number 8, and Sonny Styles, a little bit different than anything he's seen this season. So I look to the job Ohio State's done of corralling mobile quarterbacks or quarterbacks that have wanted to be mobile all season long and thinking that Michigan ran the ball effectively last week against Maryland. That is probably their best chance to run the ball and sit on the football, dominate time of possession, and don't let Bryce Underwood take any hits. Because if he takes hits, if he takes enough of them, he might not get back up. Like this defense is going to crack. It's going to crack a lot.
Yes, Reese, they're built for it. I mean, Reese, Sonny, Caleb, they're built for this offense, Bick.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, you think Bryce Underwood knows Arvell's number 8? Because I'm guessing he damn sure does after the game.
Yeah. I think he's got a pretty good idea about who he is. In this one, strange things happen. Doug LeMaurice has had a front row seat for a lot of them. He joins us in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Ohio Heating and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
The friends are the guests and listeners. Reeser and Baker just work here.
Back to work. Back to work. Everybody. Work, 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 work. Work, work.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Jordan Hall fielding it. Moving up the left side to the 30. 35, 40. Hall to the 50. He's got the kicker to beat. Hall middle of the field. 30 in Michigan. Hall to the 20. To the 10. Jordan Hall to the 5 into the end zone. Touchdown, Jordan Hall on a kickoff return. Jordan Hall takes it 85 yards to the house. And Ohio State 16-7 now over Michigan.
Man, there's so many great ones in this rivalry, obviously. And Doug LeMaurice has had a front row seat for a lot of them. Host of the Bill and Doug Show on YouTube. Bill and Doug on Ohio State Football Substack. Bill and Doug, osu.substack.com. And he joins on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. What do you remember about the first time you covered this one?
Helicopter catch, 2005 in Ann Arbor. Anthony Gonzalez from Troy Smith. Yeah, that was quite an introduction. That my first two were 05, 06 were like, okay, like it's go time. There's no messing around here. And to sort of, you know, miss Troy Smith in 04, but to see, you know, the Michigan killer in action was like this is what it means to like rise to the occasion in the game, you know?
When people, you got it as about as good as you can get right away. When people told me about, oh, it's different. It really wasn't until I went personally and especially up there that you really feel it. Like there is a feel to it that it has that separates. And I think one of the most amazing stats, and there's a billion of them around this rivalry that make it different than all the rest, but Doug, only 1987, and that was the year Earl got fired and then they won in honor of him with the headbands and all that. That was the only time in the last 55 years that one of the two teams wasn't ranked. And in most years, they're both ranked.
Yeah. It's like when you think about what makes a great rivalry, familiarity and stakes, right? Mm-hmm. That's the stakes here have always been so high. And I think that's why some of the people maybe don't like the 12-team playoff. They like it if losing the game ruins your season and mm-hmm. that changes things. But we're all adapting to the 12-team playoff. I like it. You know, I think, but like this, there's still just a lot here. And I know we've been talking to a lot of fans on our Substack this week that they find it. One of the things that Ohio State fans like about this year is that Michigan, with a win, Michigan's probably in the playoff, right?
Yes.
Ohio State's probably already in the playoff. Mm-hmm. So Michigan can't knock Ohio State out of the playoff, but Ohio State can knock Michigan out of the playoff. And so just so many things, you know, the debate of what do you want Ohio State to do more? There's such a thing, I think, with Ohio State fans this week, and I'm sure, Bo, you felt it. Ohio State fans don't just want to win this game. They want mm-hmm. to make Michigan fans feel miserable. And that mm-hmm. they want to get that first win since the cheating scandal, and to make the Michigan fans who have been on this great run the last couple of years feel pain, not just their own joy as Ohio State fans. They want Michigan fans to feel pain, and like knocking them out of the playoff is one extra little thing here.
To steal a line from the great Doc Holliday in the fantastic Western Tombstone, it's not revenge thereafter, it's a reckoning. Right. I mean, that's kind of where this feels. And yeah. And Doug, I think it's helpful for Ryan, and I think it's helpful for this team and that staff that this game is up there. I think I've said this a lot. I don't know if you feel this way or not, but Ohio Stadium can get nervy and you can feel it like eat at the home team. Up there, you're you against the world, and you'll see there'll be a lot of scarlet up there, but I almost think it's better that it's up there.
I completely agree. We've talked about that this week mm-hmm. With our people. I think some Ohio State fans maybe get offended by that because they say, like, think about the Tennessee game last year and that sure. playoff game and that atmosphere. But we're not talking about another game. We're talking about the Michigan game. And I've gone back. I watched the last four games, like, all week. That's what I've been mm-hmm. watching. And you can hear in the broadcasts, I think both in 22 and 24, you can hear Joel Klatt say, like, it's getting tight in here, man.
Yep.
Like, you can feel it in Ohio Stadium. And just, like, no offense to Ohio State fans, when it happens in the Michigan game, it is not a let's go get them boys crowd. It is a, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening crowd. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. But it's because Ohio State's not an underdog. And Ohio State never feels like it's fighting an uphill battle. Ohio State's always an overdog. Ohio State's Goliath, as Ryan Day has talked about this year. And especially in this four-game losing streak, Ohio State has still always felt like they're the better team. And so then when they're not winning, when they feel like the better team, the crowd gets tight. I completely agree. On one hand, I still have the picture in my head of Michigan running on the field in 21 with it starting to snow and thinking to myself, uh-oh, this feels like this could be a thing today. So maybe that'll happen again on Saturday. But generally, I agree. I don't think it's a bad thing for Ohio State to be on the road.
What have you made of Ryan's approach this week? Very different. I mean, flying, not driving. Yeah. So trying to make it, you know, just like any other game. Even their hype video, which dropped last night and into this morning, there's no real talk about greatest rivalry in all of sport. It's one of those things where we won't know if it'll work until tomorrow afternoon. But what do you make of the approach?
I think the approach at least makes sense that we've talked about a lot of. Is this in some ways is sort of like the end of something that if game one was the Tennessee playoff game, this is actually the end. Like it puts a cap on. You lost the Michigan game. You changed, you know, you had the team meeting. You changed who you were. You figured out a plan and you followed through. And this is almost a capper. But on the other hand, Ryan Day has talked about it. We've talked about it. It feels like this is the first game of the playoff run. So if they are thinking like, we know how to win a playoff, let's make the Michigan game the first game of the playoff run. And I respect the fact that he's been talking about routine. As soon as the band came in on the bye week, I was like, oh, man. And I wrote about it then. Okay, this is a thing. And there's just more and more and more and more that they are not doing. Mm-hmm. And I, Bo, I've been saying this. I've been around this since 2005. This is by far the most, this is the least this has felt like an Ohio State-Michigan week since I've been around. So that's two decades.
Yeah.
If you closed your eyes and you didn't know, You wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be an internal fire that still comes with that. And I think there is. It's funny to me, even in that hype video, they have Sonny Styles saying like, you know, we know it's Michigan. We're playing for hardware. Like that was me asking him that question because I was trying to get anything this week out of these guys. Like, is there anything Michigan happening? But it's Ryan's way. Ryan's way worked in the playoff. You have evidence. You have proof. And I get it. And I do think this, though, like, Bo, I remember the days we'd go in there when Trussell was the coach and you talk to 15 different players at tables. We'd be hearing stories of how much their grandparents hated Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, let's talk the pageantry, the passion. If this is how it's going to be, it's on the fans. The fans have to bring that this week. The fans hate Michigan. The fans. And so then it's not that the players don't care, but the players are focused. And the other stuff, it's not going to come from them anymore. It's got to come from the fans, and it will.
Do you think they can win without 4-17?
I looked at this. There's a statistical analysis I like. It's the Brian Fromeau Index, and it started in 2007. I looked at it since then by his ratings defensively. The better defense has won this game 14 out of 17 years. Mm-hmm. And the 3 years when it didn't happen, it was close or it almost happened. So I have not thought of Ohio State as a defense first team in the Ryan Day era. And usually in the Michigan game, it's like, well, Michigan plays good defense, but can Ohio State has first round receivers. Can they throw on these guys? I always thought about like, how's Ohio State going to attack that Michigan defense? This year, Ohio State has the better defense. The Michigan defense is good. Mm-hmm. It's not to the Michigan level of the past 3 years. There's not an Aiden Hutchinson. There's not a Mason Graham. Ohio State has the best defense in the country. That is a backbone. That is a foundation for this game. For all the toughness arguments and discussions the last 4 years that I haven't liked, if it's a defense discussion, if someone said defense wins the game, I think there's some proof in that. And then for Ohio State fans, I think there should be reassurance in that, because whatever happens with Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith, Ohio State has the best defense, and I think Michigan's going to have trouble scoring on it. So yes, I think Ohio State could win even without those guys, because it would be a Caleb Downs, Arvell Reese, Caden Curry kind of win.
I think that that's in play too. I'll get you out of here on this one, and it's the million dollar one. How do you see this going tomorrow?
I mean, on the ball, right? When you're talking about the football, how can you not pick Ohio State? Mm-hmm. I don't think Michigan can get to 20. Maybe. I think that's the max on them. I'm not sure Michigan's going to maybe score three times, like maybe score three. So then are you at 17? Are you at, you know, 13, something like that for Michigan? So to me, Ohio State's like, Julian, can you get us 20? If you can get us 20, because they didn't get 20 last year, mm-hmm. you know, like, can you get us 20? And that's enough. And so I'm in that range. I think I have Michigan scoring 16, maybe. I think I had 28-16 and I moved it to 31-16. Okay. But I'm about there. I'm about like, yeah, high 20s, low 30s, and I don't think Michigan scores more than three times.
It's going to be fun. It always is, buddy. Appreciate your time as always. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Bo.
There he goes. Doug Lemerice, The Bill and Doug Show on YouTube. The Substack is Bill and Doug, osu.substack.com. Three keys to a Buckeye victory coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
The Daily Ryan Day Show is brought to you locally by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers and by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This is a Daily Show with Coach Ryan Day, brought to you by Safe Flight Auto Glass. As your team gets ready for this yearly rivalry game, you've talked about it a lot, Ryan, but it's not just this week. This is a year-round process.
Oh, it is, sir, is. And, you know, certainly, when anybody enters in a program, whether it's a coach or a player, you know, they understand what this means. And so, like we said, man, everybody's got to be on point. It's all about, you know, build up to this game. And certainly guys have done a great job leading up to this point with their focus. And now everyone's got to do their job. That's it. And that's where the focus has to be. And there's a lot that goes with it. You know, certainly it starts with the turnovers and the X plays and winning the situations. But we just have to have a certain level of you know, again, focus that comes into this game that, you know, especially being on the road, you know, we have to be able to understand that part of it and the environment and what comes with it. Play with emotion. Don't let emotion play with us, and then finish the game in the second half.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safe Flight Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at SafeLight.com. Safe Flight Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
At Ohio State, we are the never afraid to innovate teams and the improve people's lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network, presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center,
the team physicians for Ohio State Athletics.
Ryan, you've talked a lot about how guys get ready for this rivalry, and I know it's why people come to Ohio State to play in a game like this. It has to be an interesting process to get guys boned up on the rivalry right away.
Well, yeah, and it's good to have guys from the state of Ohio because, you know, when you grow up in the state, certainly you get to see it up close and personal. And so, you know, we're not able to just recruit guys from Ohio. There's too many great players across the country, but they're our foundation. And, you know, we certainly talk a lot about it during the recruiting process, but, you know, just the amount of time that, you know, these guys spend together and they understand growing up in the state what it means, then, you know, they're able to, you know, share that. And then as guys stay here for a long period of time, they quickly learn how important this game is.
Okay, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with three locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Toyota Thon is on, and there's no better way to get in the spirit of the season than with a new Toyota. Now through December 1st, get 2.99 APR financing on remaining new 25 Tacomas. Excludes TRD Pro and Trailhunter. Or lease a well-equipped 25 Tacoma SR5 for $259 a month for 39 months with $39.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
When General Sherman marched through Georgia, he was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
Quarterback Justin Fields in the shotgun. Olave motioning from left to right, leaving two others on the left. Snap to Fields. Back to throw from his 35. Fields steps up, looks, and he fires long down the right side for Olave. Got it at the 5 and into the end zone goes Olave for a long touchdown from Justin Fields, 57 yards in length. And Ohio State's Chris Olave continues to burn Michigan.
For a while there, I just thought the average score in the game was going to be 50 to 20. Like, hung 60 on him with Dwayne and then 52 with Fields. It's like, geez.
The good old days.
Just buried him every time you played him. It was wild, that stretch. It wasn't 18. It was was it 19 or 18 revenge tour for them?
I want to say it was 19.
Was, 17. Was it 19 that was revenge tour? Yeah, Winovich and all those guys. And he just bombed them. All right, what do you have on the poll today, Reese?
The Daily Fan poll asks, does Ohio State's offense need to outrush the Michigan offense to win the game? 88% say no.
No. No, I don't think so. I don't think that's it at all. I mean, the Michigan's ability to run the ball is going to be key in this thing, but also, like, there's many ways to skin this cat with this defense as far as I'm concerned. Let's get to three things to a Buckeye victory.
Three things.
Sponsored by Buckeye Lake Marina, Central Ohio's largest selection of new and pre-owned boats. Find your next dream boat at BuckeyeLakeMarina.com.
All right, number one for me, they don't have many flaws, this team. They don't, but they have some hiccups in the red zone. And I think this week with this defense, I think tomorrow in Ann Arbor, with this weather and all of it, if you're in the red zone, take the points. I think what I saw from Michigan against Oklahoma and against USC is when they get behind, they fold. They do not chase. So if you are ahead, if you score points, if you get into that red zone and you put points on the board, you will win this game. It doesn't always have to be six, despite what some analytics might tell you or trying to send messages. Take points when they're there. Hopefully they're all touchdowns when you go inside the red zone, but I don't think they have to be for you to win. And I think the bigger issue would be going down there and coming away with nothing. I think it's a big momentum swing for that stadium and that team. Don't give them the opportunity for it.
So it looks like weather in Ann Arbor is going to be 29, 30 degrees at kick, and it's not going any higher. Snow is expected in the forecast just after 1 o'clock. So you're going to be a lot of running the football. I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks. Win the turnover battle. They haven't done it since the Wisconsin game. But I think the winner tomorrow in Ann Arbor is just that team that wins the turnover battle. Make it Ohio State.
First thing for me, it's not a 16-game season anymore. We don't need to run the Ferrari with the governor on it. And I understand you mentioned the weather, but it sounds like most of that snow is going to come through later, like the heavy snow at least. And it's not going to be super windy either. Those conditions aren't bad. Just because it's cold outside doesn't mean you can't rev the engine.
I couldn't agree more. The other thing about that is just an aside. I wonder if they're like NFL sidelines where you have all those heaters and all that stuff. Because an NFL sideline's like a bubble. It's kind of only cold when you're on the field. My guess is that Ohio State has some of that in store for their sideline as well tomorrow. Obviously, it'll be there on the Michigan side. Number two for me, I think you have the best. We have three first-round picks in this triumvirate. And to me, they're built for Bryce Underwood. I think they're built for the antidote that is whatever Underwood does well. And if he does decide to run, so what? You have 8, 0, and 2. They're all first-round picks. Arvell might go number one overall. Caleb's going to go in the top 5. Sonny's going to go in the top 15. You're built for this, man, defensively. And while Michigan will try to get the run game going, I'll roll with those three anytime. And it just feels to me like, and I think even with Arvell, I think they've held stuff back the last month with him that he can do. He's been kind of quiet. I think all of that stuff gets unleashed. And I think Caleb at the back end is such a Swiss Army knife, an unbelievable eraser. I think that Patricia's going to have him all over the place to confuse that quarterback. And I just keep coming back to that every time I think about this game is, what does Patricia have cooked up for this one, guys? And my hunch is he's got a lot.
I bring up the forecast in Ann Arbor for my first thing, because my second thing goes back to December of 2024, when it was 21 degrees in a college football playoff game at night between Ohio State and Tennessee, and it felt a lot cooler than it actually was when you're in Ohio Stadium. And you have so many of those players on offense that were in that stadium for that game, and you spread it out and you spread it on the Volunteers. It gives me confidence you can do the same thing tomorrow with 4, maybe with 17, but with those tight ends, and especially with number 25, Bo Jackson.
Bo, sometimes I hate how similar we think on certain things, because Arvell, Sonny, and Caleb, This is your time to really shine. You guys were built for a quarterback like Bryce Underwood. And we've talked a lot about in this game for Julian and Jeremiah to have those Heisman-type moments. He's not going to win the Heisman, but I think Caleb Downs has a moment in this game that we're talking about 20, 25 years from now.
Mm-hmm. I'd love it. I'd absolutely love it. Finally, I'll make this one short and sweet. Be you, damn it. Be who you are. You don't have to be anything else. You've got the better team. You have the most talent. You've got a quarterback completing 80%. You got the best player in college football. Go do you. Don't try to be something you're not to prove any point. Just handle your business. And if you just do that, I think it's comfortable, comfortable, comfortable.
Same. I had written down, you're the better team. Damn it. Play like it.
Yeah.
Final thing for me. You have to harness it. And I know these Buckeye guys, they are they're a nice group. They all get along. They're all happy. They all seem to be playing for a higher purpose. But I need you guys to play mean. I need you guys to play angry. I need you guys to play like a bunch of jerks on Saturday in between those lines. With that being said, even right now as we're talking about it, there's like a nervousness inside of me. Not quite shaking, but
yeah,
you know, not quite green in the face, but there's something inside that's nervous. And I was kind of Doug LaMaurice made me feel a little better, because Doug is a smart guy and I value his opinion. I kind of thought maybe I had this game too much. I am confident in the Buckeyes, though, and I've got Ohio State winning this one 30-9.
24-10, Ohio State halts a 4-game slide and advances to the Big Ten championship.
And we all see it pretty similar. I'm 27-10. I think that the defense just allows next to nothing, and I think you get points in that red zone, and away you go, and the slide ends, and then we're on to Cignetti. So, folks, this is why you love it. Enjoy it. It's the game. Hopefully on Monday, it's a victory Monday, and we're preparing for a Big Ten championship game. Rotho and I's going to have you covered coming up next. We're back Monday, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
It's finally here. Rivalry Week.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
We're talking about the Buckeyes and meat chicken all damn week. Join us, The Fan.
This is Ryan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FIRST.